Blog Talk Radio.
Hey guys, I'm about to, we're going to reset the show. So you guys are going to be sitting in the queue for a little while, but we're going to reset the show and it's going to start back in about 10 minutes. So we're going to play a little bit of music so you guys can listen to some music until we get everything reset. We're resetting it because we're trying to make sure that everything comes up right on the feeds on Facebook and Twitter and all of that stuff. So we'll be right back. Just listen to some good old music and some commercials and we'll be right back.
Birthday.
second.
Yes, y'all. Oh, Lord, not that shockwave thing. I don't like when that shockwave plug-in thing shows up. That usually goes really left. I'm going to stay on here with you guys until I can figure out if it's working or not. Plug-in shit came up on the screen. I don't know what the hell that means, but apparently it's just not going to give a signal to, it's only giving a signal to crap. We'll knock it down and bring it back up, see what happens. I'm just having the shittiest luck today here. So you guys are getting to listen to me flounder around having shitty-ass luck. Apparently the sound is just not going to come back up. What the fuck is going on? Live stream, your sound is just not coming on. Like it's gone. Like, I don't know. I don't know why live stream is just hiding. It doesn't want to work. Live stream, y'all might have to go to YouTube tonight because YouTube ain't having no problem. If you happen. Everybody who's sitting here listening, I know they're like the people who are on the phone lines are saying, we have no problem. Fuck them niggas. So, well, it's having the same problem over on that's weird. So the only one that's actually not having a problem is YouTube. Not having a problem. Why is YouTube not having a problem? YouTube, be patient with me. I'm going to make it go down. It may go down. It may not. I'm going to make it go down and make it come back up. Everybody, just be patient. Live stream. I think the sound is back for live stream. Let me see if I can go. This. has been a long down. I can easily remove that. That's not an issue. Now the YouTube thing looks stupid again. This is more headache than it's worth.
What's going on, man? What's the problem?
I don't know. Damn thing. It's just, literally just, like, either shows right on YouTube or it doesn't. And if it shows right on YouTube, it doesn't allow me to broadcast right on the other show. Like, it won't, it, the sound won't come. I'm going to try it one more time. Like, right now, it's showing right on YouTube. So I'm going to see what happens. I'm going to repost the YouTube link. Inside the show, so tell everybody right if they go to the they go to the show page right now that can't get it in. I'm just gonna leave the YouTube stream up. I'm not gonna fuck up the stream for the second half.
Yeah, the live stream always fucks up anyway. That one's glitchy,
yeah,
so
they'll just have to watch on live stream and deal with it. I mean, watch on YouTube and chat on live stream. Looks like the live stream is not a something's wrong. Hello, hello. Well, there's sound there.
Oh, well, you have live stream chat embedded on the site.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Wait a minute, I've been saying that.
I didn't know it was on there. I've been using the live stream page.
I keep telling people they need to watch, they need to go to live stream. They need to go to my website and watch.
Oh,
they need
shit.
To go to the website and watch it because they can see all the things, all the streams on one page.
Mm-hmm.
They can chat right there. On live stream, but watch on YouTube. So instead
yeah,
of feeling like
yeah, I didn't know you could embed that though. Like, when did you start doing that?
I've been doing this for about a week and a half. What's his name? Did it?
Huh?
Yeah, there's not too many options. Just go to the website. I think MEW was the one who did. Somebody says there's too many options. Yeah, there's other
options,
too
many
options you won't use. You go to the one damn website and it's all there.
Yeah, you want to have a lot of options anyway in case one goes down. What the fuck? What kind of
exactly.
dumb shit is that?
But the person
said
one of them's 5 seconds behind the other. If you're watching YouTube and chatting in live stream in that box, you don't know that the live stream video is faster because all you see is YouTube. You literally just talk on the one.
Yeah.
I'm confused.
Yeah. Matter of fact, that's easier. I don't get how that's confusing.
Yeah, I don't get how that wouldn't be considered easy.
Oh, man.
I might say I look stressed out. Stop watching me on that one. How about that? I'll turn it off. Now, I turned it off. I want to know how it feels to be stretched out.
Damn, you took it back for that one.
Woo! Stretched out. I want to know how it feels to be. That was what's her name singing, Biggie Smalls' wife?
Faith Evans.
Yeah. Done a lot of songs. Get her a big break.
Whatever.
I said she sung on a lot of songs to get her big break.
Oh, shit.
All right, people. We're back live. You can say whatever you want to say. Get wherever you want to. We're going to play some commercials and we'll be, God, dog, what the fuck is that? We're going to go to commercial break and we'll be right back. Tell all your friends. Post it on whatever. Tell them that we have finally made it back and it's finally working. We're going to go to a commercial. You guys know who I am and you know what this is. Let's say deal. Damn it.
What up, everybody? It's your boy, Tommy Sotomayor. This is a message to the loyal following out there. You know and I know there's nothing better than a nice, well-dressed man in a suit. Now, with the budgets being as tight as they are, a lot of people cannot afford a nice suit. Well, that's untrue because my friends at CustomSuitShop.com have made the custom suit available and affordable for all price ranges and all budgets. That's right. Go to CustomSuitShop.com. They believe that they're witnessing the return of the elegant gentleman, and they are dressing up again. They want clothing that fits right and is comfortable and looks great and makes a value statement. That's what my man Louis Morgan of CustomSuitShop.com wants everyone to know. See, what they can do is they can come to your home, perform 20 key measurements, and then hook you up with a custom suit. You know people getting tired of wearing suits off the rack. Not saying there's nothing wrong with suits off the rack, but how would you like to have a custom suit made to fit you, the way your body contours, the way you move? That's what you can get at the Custom Suit Shop. Go to CustomSuitShop.com. There are three locations. They have one in Marietta at 1395 South Marietta Parkway, Building 100. One in Charlotte, North Carolina. Oh, South Towers. Then they have another one in Birmingham, Alabama. That's right. Three locations where you can get your custom suit made. So go to CustomSuitShop.com and make sure that you mention Tommy Sotomayor sent you. CustomSuitShop.com, where with prices like these, you can't afford not to look good. Just log on at CustomSuitShop.com. That's CustomSuitShop.com. And call at 404-869-3113 if you're in the Atlanta area. If you're in the Birmingham area, call it 205-541-9469. And if you're in the Charlotte area, call 704-552-3690. And tell them Your World My View sent you.
DMV Staffing, national industry leader in staffing opportunities. Our years of staffing experience has taught us a few things. If you provide the right opportunity and a very high salary, people will perform their very best. We understand that needing more money than you're currently making is not your fault. We know if given the right opportunity, you could make more money. What if you could send your children to the best schools and take multiple vacations a year? If you had the right opportunity to make more money, you could.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Tommy Sotomayor. And I'm sure you're like everyone else out here that wants to take control of your work future. Well, one of the best ways that we here at Your World My Views know how to do that is to get in contact with DMV Staffing. Just log on at dmvstaffing.com or go to yourworldmyviews.com and tommysotomayor.com. SotomayorTV.com, where the links will take you to DMV Staffing, because we know DMV Staffing will do all that they can to make sure that you have the job of your dreams. You want to make sure that you can take that vacation you wanted and you can take care of your family as well as those around you. And that starts finding a job that can help you be financially secure. So go on to DMVStaffing.com and make sure that you let them know Tommy Sotomayor sent you.
Here for a few years. I knew it was time to move on. But I wasn't the only one trying to start their career. And everyone else was way more qualified. When I finally found a job I could get, I was pretty much back where I started. Then I saw a commercial for Westwood College and decided to give them a call. At Westwood, I got my bachelor's degree in just 3 years. I got career training in the classroom, and they helped me build my resume. So when I graduated, I had everything I needed to finally start my career.
Start your career with a bachelor's degree from Westwood College. Graduate in just 3 years with the tools you'll need to start a career in design, justice, technology, healthcare, or business, including construction management. Call now for your free career success kit and learn about the careers and salaries that could be yours with a Westwood College degree. Online classes are available.
If you're looking for the best all-natural health products, including natural hair products, visit DHealthStore.com, the home of the famous herbalist Tahuti Ma'at Ra. D-Health Store offers you over 2,000 products at unbelievably low and affordable prices every day of the week. The products are all natural, vegan, contains no preservatives, no fillers, no binders, and the herbs are organic and wild harvested herbs. The quality of their products are unmatched. DHealthStore.com offers you great products, low prices, excellent customer service, and fast shipping. To get the best for less, visit DHealthStore.com or call toll-free at 888-823-9416. That's 888-823-9416. DHealthStore.com. Go to DHealthStore.com and tell them Tommy Sotomayor sent you.
And now, more from the man that's able to make even his own dog question their friendship. Your host, Tommy Sotomayor.
What's up, everybody? I want to bring in phone calls tonight. Number 347-989-8310. Talking about plan A, plan B. And if it's any of them punks that got a problem with me, they are welcome to call in. But they won't. They just gonna make a video so they can get some hits. There's somebody on the phone that claim he's the black authority. Go ahead, sir. What's on your mind?
You real gay.
You supposed to say black first, brother. That let me know you ain't the black authority. He said whatever he said and hung up. Did y'all hear that? But I don't even know what he said. What did he say?
It sounded like you real gay or something. I don't know. But that was a pretty bad impersonation, though. I will say that. that's probably the worst one that's ever called in.
That is...
Like when you fail at trolling, I mean that's pretty bad.
I know, right? Hey, you know who was a big failure? DNR Productions. They went on a chick radio show that can't get phone calls to talk shit about me. He say he gonna be on my neck because I be talking about his people. He say he mad because I didn't give him money, even though the money I was gonna give him, he say he was gonna sabotage my project. So what he's saying is he's mad that I didn't allow him to sabotage my process.
Oh, man. Yeah, that was the most circular shit I've ever heard, man.
Who is raising these dudes? Bastard sons of single mothers. You can tell these niggas need, y'all need fathers. Y'all niggas need fathers and hugs from those fathers. Them niggas, they had male mentors, but they was going down here at the Eddie Long. That's the wrong, your mama took you to the wrong father. They took you to Sandusky.
I was just going to say his name.
Gary Sandusky. She told you to go to state, to Penn State, and you ended up going to State Penn. God, dog, who says the stuff that these niggas are saying? I'm going to be on your neck, nigga. As long as you talking shit about my sister, I'm going to be on your neck, nigga. Be on my neck.
Let's
How
hear.
Are you going to do this, David KFRL? What does that mean?
Become a cyber stalker, I guess?
Yes, exactly. You're just going to be a nigga that keep making fucking profiles and talking shit on my damn thing. Who the fuck stands out in the open? You know, and I was trying to get close to him. Yeah, I was, and I was going to sabotage his stuff. If I'd have gotten his movie, I was going to sabotage his movie because he deserved
well, The funny thing about that is that sounds kind of like white supremacy, doesn't it? Like infiltrate and sabotage from the inside.
Ooh.
I didn't threaten him. I just let him know he got a problem with me. So you keep making these words. That's the problem with black folks. We say words that sound threatening, but then say they don't mean it's not a threat. I'm going to be on your neck, nigga. You just created an enemy. Did you threaten me? No, dog. Why won't you take that as a threat? I mean, I don't know. I don't know what you mean. I just thought because I didn't want to do business with you. It's the most confusing thing. You didn't want to do business with me. But you did business because you needed a check. I want y'all to understand how insane he sounds, just like how all the rest of them sound insane. I'm just going to relay this out point by point. And his punk ass won't call. Didn't he want to go on this no-name chick show talking about some I refuse to talk to him? Anybody who knows this motherfucker, you got 3 hours. Go find him and tell him to call in. Go find him and tell him.
Didn't they say that's what they had to do? We got to call and do a show? We got to bombard his lines?
Oh, yeah. I was going to run all that down in the next 10 minutes. I thought it was going to be funny. I'm going to run all that down, but you were right. One, the man said that he took time away from his daughter, seeing his daughter, to work on my field. So what David K. Farrell said was more important to him was working on a film with a guy he don't like so he can infiltrate that guy's movie and sabotage it than seeing his own kid. That's what he just told you. He told you that he would chase money from a dude he don't like and then fuck that dude's stuff up so that people can see fuck up that was done. That would make his business that feeds his daughter look bad. All because he's trying to save black women. He also stated on that show, and I want y'all to see how lame these dudes are. They can't do anything by themselves. They ask you for your help, like the lame who said, y'all donate money to this talent show. And the dude asked him, why not let him get a talent show for free? He said, because where the money going to come from? That's still the funniest shit I've ever heard. Go read it, y'all. If y'all think I'm lying, go to Tyrone's page. Go to his video. He actually right there, where is the money going to come from? If people don't give me money so I can give it back to them, a cut of it, where is it going to come from? You probably should be holding an event. You probably shouldn't be holding a talent show. I don't understand.
It sounds more like a raffle to me.
I know. It's a fucking raffle. I'm thinking about raffling off some of these TVs. I'm thinking about raffling off a lot of the shit I have if I move from here, because I'm thinking about really moving to California. But I don't want to take this shit with me. I want to buy all the shit. So maybe I can start, I have a lot of stuff that people want. I'm raffle off some of these TVs and shit. I got all this electronics, but I'm not putting this thing in the car and driving across, and put it in a plane or however you would get across the country. I don't know how you
do it. Like a trailer or something.
Yeah, I'm going to get a boat. I'm going to take a boat all the way to California.
go through the Panama Canal. Say what's up to the Kim folks.
Exactly. But, yeah, I said here and I thought about it. I said, so he was going to do all this. This is what he was going to do. That made sense to him. And he is mad at me because I wouldn't let him do it. He's pissed because I wouldn't let him. And then his partner sound like just a plain old idiot. Why would you let that guy be your partner talking all that rah-rah shit? And then to sit there and tell this lie that, you know, then Tommy got all bad with me, and I don't know why. Then this, you know, and after he told
he told Rico, okay, I got mad, so I jumped over his shoulder, and I put a boot in his chest.
What? So wait a minute. I spoke with common sense to Rico, told Rico, if I have to make a decision today, my decision is no. He says, okay. We get off the phone. He sends an email which says, we have decided to withdraw our business from your project. After I just said, my answer is no. So I respond to him and say, okay. Then I get cussed out because I said, okay, you deserve to say more than okay to my niece. You caused me to see my kid. You got an enemy with me. I'm like, the fuck are you talking about, you jackass? What are you talking about? What should I have said? I'm not apologizing for some shit I didn't do. Then a nigga talking about I came looking for them. All I asked them to do was show one email I sent them or one incoming phone call from me. They can't show you because I never called them. Ever. I never picked up my phone and called you. I don't know who you are. I don't know anything about you. But I want you to understand how desperate these people are. And what we should do is flood his phone lines and make it to where he can't do no show and flood his comment section. Do y'all notice ever since he asked that, neither has happened? So that lets you know what kind of pull DNR has. DNR has nobody that likes him. That would be like if I said, what we need to do is go fill up the Black Authority's comment section. And then y'all look in the Black Authority's comment section, it's just a bunch of niggas saying, good job, good job. Would I fill it up with compliments? We should go fill this video up with dislikes. Go over there and nigga got 1,000 likes and 20 dislikes. I would rethink my order-giving ability. I'd rethink that. I'd say, you know what? I probably shouldn't be giving orders.
Well, at that point, it's time to go.
Huh?
And I was saying, at that point, it's time to go with Plan B.
You know what I'm saying? I'm probably not that much of a general. If I ask people, let's go over there and flood his comment section. And ain't no flood of comments in his comment section. Look, what the fuck are y'all doing? But you heard him on that woman's show. He was begging. Yo, I can't believe I'm the only nigga that's out here that's calling this nigga out. All these other niggas on YouTube need to be calling this nigga out. But I see what's happening. I see what's happening. Y'all women don't want me to take up for y'all. That's all right. I ain't going to take up for y'all no more. That's all right. Y'all is up there, and I got women up in his comment section be liking his stuff. That's all right. Y'all want niggas to be able to talk shit to y'all. And I was like, listen to this fool. Who does that? You've never heard me go on that rant since y'all ain't helping. Why would I ask y'all to just go on this rant? Why would I go on this rant about my hatred of another individual? And since y'all won't help me hate this other individual, we got a problem. I ain't never told y'all, since y'all won't help me hate Tyrone, I ain't never got on the show and said, y'all need to give me some money to help me sue Tyrone. I'm doing this for y'all. I'm out here doing this for y'all, and I got in the line of fire for y'all, and y'all ain't sending me no money. These bills need to get paid. Really? Really? Internet ain't free. I'm just letting y'all know the internet ain't free. Let me tell y'all something. I want to tell this jackass if he listens. I know he listens. Listen, jackass. You were on the internet before them people knew who you were. Jackass. You were on the internet before them people knew who you were. Know what that means, jackass? You were using the internet before them people knew who you were. Jackass. You know what that means, jackass? That they shouldn't have to help you pay for something that you were fucking using before they knew you existed. Why would you ask somebody to help you pay for something you already have? You already fucking have it, and you're asking me to help you pay for it, so you can basically want to have it for fucking free. This is what you're saying. You were using it when you met it. Matter of fact, because you were using it, that's how you met us. You met us through using it. Your stated goal was to get rid of this man. Does he want to ask me, where's my movie? You know what y'all need to ask him? Why is Tommy still broadcasting? I would love for somebody to go ask him a simple question. You're right. Where's Tommy's movie? And you've been trying to take him off air now for almost 2 years. Why is he still talking? You've been trying to take him off YouTube. Why is his video still there? If we should hold him to this standard of his movie should have been out, your task was easier than his, apparently. It was cheaper because all you got to do is troll him and get people to help you troll. It didn't cost you a damn dime to stalk me . What y'all need to ask is where y'all moving. The movie ain't going to come out, and if it do come out, it ain't going to be no good. You've been trying to destroy me for 2 years. You haven't done it. You haven't put a dent in it. You ran around with your hands up because I was crying over my girl leaving, and you thought that I was set up that hurt because of you, and so I left the internet. We did it. Motherfucker was running around what's that chick name? What's the little girl that say we did it? Why I draw a blank? Dora the Explorer. We got Thomas off of the internet. We did it. We did it. Come on, dog. Oh, God. That show was embarrassing. That show was embarrassing when that dude stood up there and had that jackass Haitian. What's that jackass Haitian that came on my show and I made a fool out of him? That jackass Haitian that's on his show. I hope somebody let that jackass Haitian hear this song or hear this video. What's his jackass name? Who knows what that? No. That jackass that came on my show one time. No, the Haitian. Y'all remember it? Damn it, what was that? Y'all know. Black Sudoku. Thank you, Season. That Black Sudoku. Black Sudoku, you're a fucking punk. Somebody play that to him. Black Sudoku, you're a fucking punk.
I just called you dead. Congratulations. Congratulations that it's on order. I'd like to say congratulations that in order. Hey, you did it.
Did he do, you black idiot? Black Sofuku? Black jackass? Came on my show stuttering and shit. Why when you talk to me, you stuttering? Now you giving out motherfucking kudos. Hey, who the fuck does this? Who the fuck does this? Calls up somebody and say, congratulations for fucking over a black dude. Guess what never happened on my show? None of y'all hit me up and said, congratulations for getting that Jason Black video taken down. Fuck, congratulate somebody. I don't need no damn congratulations for that shit. Let's move on. And you damn sure don't congratulate nobody for fucking up a black man's business. You don't congratulate nobody for fucking up a black man's business. That's what you do. You so pro-black that if another black man had fucked up another black man's business, you put your hands up. Good job. Good job. You fucked up his business. Beautiful. Now if we could fuck up his family life. They were doing that. First thing they would say, his girlfriend ugly and is a slut, and she only with him to get his money. She left him. Yay! Wait a minute. If she was a hoe and she was a slut and was only with me to get my money, why would she and to get a green card, why would you be cheering? That doesn't make any sense. Look what you just cheered for. So she decided that the green card wasn't good enough. That's what she's saying. Have you noticed they always got a behind-the-scenes answer to everything that happens? Like, everything that happens, they got an answer for. Everything that happens, they have an answer for why it happened. If I get hit by a car tomorrow, I guarantee you that bitch will come out and make a video and say, I told you that the ancestors said that he would get hit. Whenever you can say something like this, which is what she said, he's going to have a downfall. Let me tell you something, you dumbass bitch. Frank Sinatra stopped being popular at one time. George Bush Sr. is in a wheelchair. Bill Clinton is having heart trouble. Martin Luther King is dead. Malcolm X is dead. By logic, you can wait and something will happen to everyone. Johnny Carson used to be the king of late night. Is it because people who don't like him, is that why he's not the king of late night no more? But the fact that they say shit like that, they say, well, something's going to happen to Tommy. Like I said, Muhammad Ali is no longer the greatest. Michael Jordan can't dunk. This is why I fear black folks, because they pray to God to get you to get fucked up. They pray to God that something will happen to you. Somebody said Michael Jackson is dead. Thank you. Of course I won't be as popular as I am at one point. That's a stupid-ass thing to predict.
I predict that he won't be as famous as he is.
That always comes true. That has never not been true. You cannot name the individual that did not drop in popularity. It's never happened. Before Elvis died, he was a fucking a Vegas sideshow. People weren't trying to see him like that. Before Michael Jackson died, was nobody trying to see him like that. Was nobody trying to hear Sammy Davis Jr. say, sha-boing, boing, boing. Nobody was trying to hear that. Everybody used to listen to Jermaine Stewart when he said, he don't have to take his clothes off. Y'all should have known that man was gay when he said that. There's nothing more gay than to tell a woman you ain't got to take your clothes off. This nigga's arguing with this bitch. This bitch is trying to fuck him, and he said no. What you doing? Bitch, you wrong. Let me get my clothes on and sing this stupid song. I don't want to go to the club. What the fuck are you talking about? God, dog, this nigga said we ain't got to take our clothes off. My God. And y'all talking about, I had no idea he was gay. This nigga had a perm that looked better than the women. This nigga was wearing outfits looking just like them whores. That's the way you could get away with it, though, in the 80s. In the 80s, oh, I'm not gay. I'm just flamboyant. We ain't got to take our clothes off. What the fuck? Kevin Campbell. He just think he was gay. He just wanted to talk. Somebody put Kevin Campbell in. I knew he was gay. He just wanted to talk. Those soft voice ass nigga. And then he was asking the bitch, can we talk? I want to fuck. Can we fuck for a minute? That's what I would have said, and that's all I need. Fuck a couple of minutes. Girl, I want you to know I came. I said, fuck with me for a minute. And come on and fuck for a minute. And I'll let you know, I'll let you know when I came, girl.
fuck with me for a minute. Come on and fuck with me, give it. Ladies and gentlemen, the number is 347-99.
Oh, gee. Listen.
Y'all, the dudes, every time they have the ability to call, these dudes have nothing to say. And I still want to know, David Farrell, why is it that you, Mr. Pro Black and Mr. BET and all this, and you can't even get nobody to fuck with my comment section? David Farrell had to make 5 fucking channels himself to come talk shit in my damn chat. You made a fool of yourself. Don't ever say something in public that you cannot do. Black men, listen. Stop saying shit in public you can't do. Stop begging motherfuckers for shit that you can't get them to do. Shut the fuck up. It looks, it's embarrassing. Because once you say it and it don't happen, here's what I do want to start doing. I'm going to start having flag parties. Let me see, we got one of I asked y'all to get rid of that video by the WAC authority, and like in a day that motherfucker was gone. I don't know how y'all did it. I said, go get rid of it. The day it was gone. I knew we could get a lot of thumbs down on it. I didn't think we could get it gone. So I'm thinking, well, we're going to start doing this whole flag party. And now, again, I'm not trying to run a dictatorship. They can say, if they catch me saying something stupid or they got some commentary on what I got to say, that's fine. If they want to call me a jackass for saying some jackass shit, that's fine. I really understand that. But when you just fucking with me for no reason, that's stupid. That'd be like me if I keep fucking with Russell Simmons. I made the one video about Russell Simmons. Well, I'm going to just make a video about Russell Simmons every day and fuck with him, get in his chat section, get on his Twitter and keep fucking with him. That's what I'm going to do, huh? That's what you're going to do. You're going to fuck with Russell Simmons every day. If you get rid of Russell Simmons, the black folks will be fine. But that don't make sense. I would never get behind no dumbass shit like that. Let's get rid of this one person. You point out where the flaw is in your argument with somebody. And leave it alone. I don't think they should do a movie about World Star Hip Hop, but if they do the movie about World Star Hip Hop, somebody said, do I not like Russell Simmons? No, I didn't say I don't like Russell Simmons. I don't like what he's trying to do. He's involved in a project to make a movie about World Star Hip Hop. He's the same guy that made a video and thought it was funny about Harriet Tubman having a sex tape. At a certain point in time, you got to realize this nigga's full of shit. He's the same dude that stood up there and got this rush card that's robbing poor people. Card charges you to get a card to get your own damn money. A lot of this, but then this was supposed to be the dude that's the Buddhist. Mr. Buddhist wouldn't sit up there and try to do no damn film about World Star Hip Hop. Somebody said they'd like to call in. There's a phone number. Call in. The number 347-989-8310. That's 347-989-8310. Make sure that you call in. 347-989-8310. If somebody say it's on the screen, it is. Call in, bitch. Call in, bitch. That's what I love about what I do, because it's better than what they do. Let's see. Fuckers, look how fast that motherfucker going round. Look at that motherfucker. Look at it. He's gone. Giddy up, giddy up, giddy up, yup, yup. If it was the number, I don't really give a fuck. Giddy up, giddy up, giddy up, yup, yup, giddy up. I don't give a fuck. Look at how big numbers they are. Look at them running around. Look at them numbers on the bottom. That 3, 4, 7, 8, 9, 8, 7, 8. Look at them numbers running around. Giddy up, giddy up, giddy up, yup, yup. Look at them numbers running. Yup, yup, yup. Giddy up, giddy up. Look at them numbers. Yep, giddy up, yup, yup. Woo! That bitch is on the run. Tell me what's the number.
That motherfucker is going somewhere. Hot dog.
Giddy up, giddy up, giddy up, giddy up. Somebody said they want a red number. Red. Sold to the nigga that asked for it. Giddy up, 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 giddy up.
I had to break it on down. Break it down. I don't want nobody else to hear the sound. This love is solid up there. I'm gonna speed the bitch up. Ooh.
The number 347-989-8310 is going across your motherfucking screen if you look in your seat. It says 347-989-8310. It's going too fast. I don't really give a fuck. Anyway, let me see if I can answer some of these phones. I'm going to say, pop some champagne again.
You know, I used to like Tevin Campbell. I ain't going to lie. Tevin has some good songs. What was that one song he had? One song.
Everybody likes Tomorrow.
I'm ready to love you forever. Hey, lover, now come love me forevermore. I'm ready.
He sung that song.
Tomorrow was a song. Tomorrow will be better you, better me. So that we'll show this world we got more we could be.
That's when you sound like a bitch. You couldn't sing like that. His voice was too high. Somebody said, check what out. Check what out. Check what out, man. Oh. Hitbox. Send it to my email. Yay, Tomorrow was letting us know games were coming. I'm ready, was out of closet. All right, let's get to it. Guys, do me a favor. Go to afatherlessamerica.com. Make sure you click a donate button or go to thomasotomayor.com and click a donate button. Let's have a little fun with the donation. There's a lot of people on the phone that want to talk. Yeah, we're talking about when Plan A fails. Let me go to Antonio. He wants to talk about it. Where's RC at? I want RC to call. What's up, Antonio?
Hello. How you doing?
I'm doing well, brother. How are you?
I'm good, man. Just been waiting.
Well, talk to me.
On your topic, I just want to say, if your plan A fails, you might just have to have time to rebuild it, you know? Just probably have to drop down to your B and build up to your A again.
Let me ask you, have you had your plan A? And what I really wanted from the show was people to tell us their real story. So, see, we can talk in hypothetical. But it will help out to tell us, you know, when you had something that was going on in your life and you had to switch it up.
I do that a lot. I have to do that a lot sometimes because, first of all, I'm from Dallas, and I live out in upstate New York now. So I had a friend that brought me out, like, basically – I said when my grandmother died, it kind of, she was like the rock of the family, you know what I'm saying? You know how you talk about it's always the woman, the rock of the family. My family was kind of like that. My story is like every other black man, you know what I'm saying? And I came back to Dallas, you know what I'm saying, for a minute. Then my friend just kept on asking me, come to New York, come to New York, work with me, work for me. So I came up here, and that was basically, I'd say, a change. You know what I'm saying? Because coming up here, I was making good money, And then I met my girlfriend, and now I'm in upstate. I don't make the money I used to. So I can say that derailed me from my plan A. Now I'm still working on my plan A.
All right, let me ask you this. What is the thing that you knew you wanted in life, or one of the things that you knew you wanted in life and it failed? Like, you worked at it, whatever it was. Maybe it was a chick you was dating and you gave her everything. Maybe it was you trying to go to college and you ended up having to drop out. I want to hear people's real stories about a real life event that they really worked for and it didn't work.
Oh, man, you got me on that one. But mine is kind of what I'm
doing.
We
all got that story. We all have that story. You cannot live and be a human and have been a success at everything you wanted.
Oh, no, that's you're right about that. But I guess this is our first time calling. It's just not floating in my head right now. You know, when you
told my story, I went deep and told y'all the story about me, and, you know, it's the shit that people probably don't use and make videos of it. But I want people to feel comfortable enough to be able to help each other out. And so I had to tell this thing that's hurting me, that's making me.
Oh, all right. I got it. Thank you for that one. I have one when I played football. I played football, like I said, I'm from Dallas, you know, in Texas, football is king. This is really fresh, my dream. All right, my senior, I had a real good junior year. I really liked offense. I was really an offensive guy. I played fullback, but I loved playing. I always played tight end, and I had decent speed. I knew that position. You know, I know you know football. To be a defensive player, you kind of have to be halfway nuts, like a linebacker.
Yeah, you got to be a crazy motherfucker to play in the front.
If you play in the front seven, hey man, you got some screws loose. So, all right, coming back to senior year, the school I went to, we had some racial stuff. I know you're a Georgia boy. I know you know about how in Texas and Georgia how it could be. So some of the coaches was a little racist. So I played defensive end too. I really didn't like our coach. He was a true racist. So, I mean, a bigot. I won't say racist because I know how you get. But I went down to D-line.
I don't find the word racist. I can play with it. It's more like racism. Racism, I feel, but racist, I can see it, but racism is the one where I get caught up on. Because I'm like, racism is a system. I can get racist because that's just a jackass thinking that his race is better, so that makes sense.
Yeah, but I ended up playing tackle. Remind me, I was only about, the best I could get was 207. I ran a good little 4.6, or, you know what I'm saying, something like that. So basically, long story short, they started phasing me out on the offense. I always started. In football, I never set the bench. The senior my senior year, I just, you know what I'm saying, they were just messing me out of time, and I just felt a certain way about it. So the season goes on, I'm getting more phased out, and some of the white boys, you'll see, like, why are they playing, like, what's going on here? And our quarterback, he was just like a 5'11". Oh, this dude was fat. He was fatter than some of our linebackers. You know what I'm saying? I mean, this dude couldn't play. But, all right, long story short, you know what I'm saying? I stopped really going. I lost my passion for the game. You know what I'm saying? I know I was never going to be Ray Lewis. Now, you know, I never thought I was going to go to Nebraska or Miami, but I knew I was good enough to get a Division II or Division III scholarship. So I kind of skipped a couple practices. And I noticed my gear was gone, everything was gone, you know. And a dude that I really trusted, the football coach, he kind of, because I also was raised in Indianapolis, so I could understand that Chicago struggle too, because it's nothing out there. In the Midwest, I would never live out there. It's nothing. The school systems are real bad out there. I just like to point that out. But basically, he kind of took me in, and then it's basically, he's like, we're done. It was like, in football, you know what they say, you just reload. And I felt, I came from a good family. I seen a two-parent household and a one-parent household. So my aunt and uncle raised me. So when that happened, that was kind of like my A plan to get a scholarship to Division II or Division III. And all I wanted was a good education. That's it. Nothing more, nothing less. But I see that now that I got older, I see that what they were doing is they had pressure from the booster club to play them kids that they started letting them play, their parents had money into it. And it took me a long time. That's really a thing that kind of hurt, because I love football. And to this day, I never watch a high school football game.
Let me tell you, first off, I want to apologize, Antonio. I want to apologize to you from the bottom of my heart right now for asking you that damn question, boy. You did.
I'm saying, man, you asked me a question that
I'm really sorry I asked you that damn question. Boy, good Lord. No, there's nothing wrong with it. I'm just messing with you, Antonio. I feel you. Let me see.
It's all good. It's all good.
I had a story kind of like that, too. I got cut as a senior because I was dating a white chick, and the coach was racist. So this other school wanted me at that school, and the coach, after he cut me, the other school wanted me at that school. And I wanted to play basketball, so I transferred to that school. When I transferred to that school, the coach threatened that school that if they let me play, that they would be on, that they would get some kind of sanctions, because apparently if there's a certain amount of time you can't transfer, and he was doing all kinds of shit. It was crazy. So it was like, it was fucked up. And after he did it, my mom sent my little brother to the same high school. And I kept telling my mom, why would you let him go to the same high school?
Uh-huh.
But my mom thought I was just a jackass and that he did some jackass shit to me. He did the same thing to my brother. I was like, that's what y'all get. Because when you treat your own child like that, when you don't listen to your kid, because I was telling my mom, look at this woman. Look at what he did. And she didn't listen to me. Did the same thing 10 years later to my little brother. I said, see? But anyway, thank you, man, for giving me the call. I want you guys to try to be a little bit quick when you tell them the stories. I want you guys to say something that really can help some other people. What we want to do is just specifically just talk about our plan A's, how they fail, and then the redemption part of it, if you can. If there's not a redemption, if you're currently going through a town, maybe we can help you guys with some things. But really try to tell the story of the thing you wanted the most and you didn't get it. I mean, usually these kind of stories are short when you talk about the things you wanted the most. But my story was pretty short. I really wanted this person. I spent about a year trying to make it work. Didn't happen. I don't know what to do next. Like, I've been like, I put things that I never put in anybody else. Like, there were things I did that I never did before, because I thought, it's time. I'm 38 years old. It's time to be right, is how I think. It's time to do right. I'm 38. I'm not 28. I'd assume it's a good time to be a good man. But I'm not getting younger. So, I don't know. Oh, I'm going to tell you guys a story that happened to me the other day, and then we'll pick up another phone call. Story happened to me. I bought the chocolate pudding pack.
and it says, and so I gave one to my daughter. And when I got, if I gave one to my daughter, she read the top of it. She said, is it okay if I throw it? And I said, why would you do that? She started laughing. My little girl is silly. My little girl is silly. That tickled the shit out of me. I didn't get it at first. I was, she said, it's okay if I throw it. I was like, why would you throw it? That's a silly little girl. So she tickled me with that one. I give her credit. She's starting to get a little comic game up. It's getting slow, but she's trying to get a little comic game up. Let me go to Rick from the first half of the show who was... Rick, are you still asleep? What the hell is wrong with Rick? Rick, keep calling, but keep being asleep.
Hey, how you doing, sir?
I'm doing all right. What, I'm about to say, don't get missed again. What's up?
Hey, I'm glad to finally catch you. I couldn't catch you when you got back to Atlanta last time when you were up there in South Carolina. I tried to put my information on your site, but it kept on rejecting it because I had too many entries or something.
You kept rejecting your information?
Yeah, I tried to, but it kept on saying it would retry it at later time. I'm not sure if you were able to get it.
Well, I'm sorry about that, but I'm pretty sure I didn't. But what was your information regarding?
I was going to meet with you whenever you had a free moment when you got back to town. I do a lot of media stuff, too. And any kind of stuff that you need, events covered, anything like that, sports especially. I did a fair show this last weekend.
Sorry about that. Go ahead.
Yeah, I know how busy you are. I know all the stuff you're doing. I want to talk to you about that filmmaker. I know that a guy like that would give all the minority filmmakers a bad name, but that was just a bad one. You ran into, there's going to be some good ones out there.
The problem is I keep running into a lot of bad black folks, just like the guy who called in the last time. I typically don't do things like that, but like right now, that guy... I knew there were several things I should have known was wrong. Like when I asked him what's his website for his cigar. Inside the chat room, people were putting in coldblack.com or whatever. But what he said was completely different than what they were saying. I was like, well, why would it be so different? There was little things that just kept being, it didn't sound right about what he was saying. But it's the fact that you got somebody who would allow you, who would just call in just to do that. So
yeah,
now I look at any people like that. Like, now I'm going to look at all of them like that. Now as far as anybody that tells me how to make a movie, I'm now skeptical of seeing a black person who would try to work with me say. Literally. Like, anything you say. If you tell me it costs 4 cents, I'm skeptical. It must be 2 cents. You're trying to get 2 extra cents out.
Always make them prove something to you, like if somebody wants to do a show, we always ask for a demo tape, make them prove that if they really care about all that stuff, like giving them free lunch and all that, that's nice and all that. And a lot of times, like kids and all that is perfect for, but for these folks that's in business, if they have any kind of business, they should save up something. They shouldn't make you foot the bill for lunch if they're serious about what they're doing, or especially if they want to meet you. You shouldn't have to take all the risk. I always used to watch you do that and stuff, and I'd be like, I wish he would stop, because you have all this positive energy. Some people appreciate that. A lot of people don't.
Yeah, and that's the messed up part. Like, I'd say right now dealing with black folks, it's like 50-50. I'm really nice to a lot of people. Only half of them really take it and treat it like it is. I guess it's the best way to put it. It's weird. Like, the woman I bought the motorcycle for that. Or the person who called in and won the
They won the package for the Hidden Colors 3. Well, they got the Hidden Colors 3 on Wednesday. I had it, as a matter of fact, I had it delivered, two-day delivery. I paid more to get them delivered 2 days. They got it on Wednesday. They sent me an email and said, I got the video. I watched the video. They said, I'll send you a photo like you asked when I get time. Now ask yourself, if you took time to write me this long email, how much time would it have taken you to take your phone, hold up the thing of Hidden Colors, take a selfie, and send it in?
Oh, yeah.
But here it is Friday, and they still haven't done it.
Like that little fella that you got the bike for, and it is most talking about something about a helmet, and she hasn't got it yet, and all that. That kind of stuff, those kind of people like that, they don't really appreciate good things.
Like I don't understand why it would be I would have to ask these type of things. Well, why wouldn't you immediately do this? I don't understand. The dude paid to come see me. I basically paid him back by flying him down here because I just thought it was a cool gesture that the dude would donate to the movie to just to see me.
Those guys on street rep, I know somebody famous. I met a. So you had a lot of talent. Some people see you as a motivator. Some people see you as a comedian. Some people see you as a musician because you got a lot of talents. And they build up their street cred by talking to you, even by getting to meet you.
I just don't understand why is it somebody couldn't do something simple. Motherfuckers is lazy when it comes to black folks. You have bitches be trying to fuck with you online, but you ask them, send me a picture, bitch. And she taking all damn day like she can't see what the fuck she look like. Stop talking to me.
People are jealous of you.
It's ridiculous. Black folks treat black folks like they ain't shit. We treat other black folks like they just ain't shit.
The only problem is there was somebody else in that line that if they would have answered first, they would have been super appreciated like those little kids, you got the chef materials for and everything. Now, that kind of family, they appreciate everything. You know, when the guy was looking out for his little sister and all that?
Yeah.
All
right.
That
dude, I think he's on the phone right now.
Yeah.
That dude, as soon as I sent his sister that mixer, they made the videotape. Because it's common sense. It ain't that damn hard, and it's harder for you to make a video than it is to take a fucking picture.
Oh, yeah. Especially to make it last 5 minutes or whatever. That was a pretty decent video and stuff. They showed the cooking and they showed their kind of unity in their family.
Exactly. Ricky, send me an email, Ricky, and I'm going to try to get with you and talk to you about what it is you say you can do. And I'll still talk to you. Send me an email at tj@yourworldmyviews.com, all right?
All right. Hey, thank you, sir.
No problem. Hey, guys, the number is 347-989-8310. I'm going to try to go through these phone calls pretty damn quick. I'm going to get through them. Get through these motherfuckers quick. So y'all better get on and jump on and say what the fuck you gotta say.
What's up, man? Hey, listen, I'll tell you about a story that happened to me. This is a real story. I went to a real estate course last year, and I had a guy next door live across the street from me. He wanted to join the team, but he was a distraction. So I made a plan B to put somebody else in his place because, you know, he went about that life. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, I'll tell anybody that's listening to this show, if you got a dream, go for it. Don't let nobody tell you what you cannot do, because anything can come true if you work hard at it. You know, that's
so
a philosophy
me.
Of mine.
So tell me, I got to ask. What is something you can look back on your life and you thought you have it or be there and you lost it or didn't do it and you had to switch over to another plan? What is that something that you thought you'd be? Like, you know, sometimes you grow up and you think you're going to be an astronaut and you just grew up to be an asshole.
I wanted to be a preacher. Then I said, nah, I really wanted to be a preacher because my dad was a preacher. And I was fascinated with, you know, the life of the preachers and, you know, and the responsibility to really help people, mentor people. But after I saw how much headache it is, especially dealing with black folks in our community, I just said, no, I just want to be a regular guy because that's his life. You know what I'm saying?
So how far did you get in? How far did you take seminary? Did you? I want to know if you took it seriously, like if you took steps to do it.
I mean, I became an usher of the church, and then, you know, I did the deacon thing. I was just waiting on my calling because I didn't want to go. See, I'm against that school stuff. You know, people go to school to be a minister. I think you're going to be a real preacher.
Wait a minute. You said you're against that foolish stuff of going to a preacher, or going to school to become a preacher?
Yes. Yes. I didn't stutter.
So, oh, wait, I just want to make sure. So you're saying it's foolish to go and study the book you're reading and then becoming that. It's better to have you just have your retarded mind, because let me tell you, all of us got retarded mind, because you know what my mind told me? My mind told me when I met my ex-wife, she was getting off a bus, and I was at work. She got off that bus, and I said, I'm going to marry that bitch. And I ended up marrying that bitch. And it was one of the worst decisions I ever made. But my mind told me that that's the bitch I'm going to marry. So you don't think that your mind can tell you, I'm supposed to be a preacher. That's my calling. And that's just going to make you get up in a pulpit instead of actually going to a school to be learned about it? Seriously?
No, because I believe that you should be called. That's what Sunday school for. They teach you all about the Bible. That's why we have Bible class. That's why you have the preacher. You know what I'm saying? You listen. You read the book. And he have class. You know, he teach you about the Bible. I just think my philosophy, I think you should be called. You know, I think a lot of these people.
So who calls you? Who calls you? Who calls you?
You know? I mean, everybody said I had a calling on my life, but I didn't see it because I was running away from it. That's not something I wanted, you know what I'm saying, at first. Then I said, yeah, maybe I should be a preacher. Then I thought about, well, maybe I'm following my dad's footsteps. I have to live my own dreams. So I wanted to go to school to go to business. That's something I wanted to do real bad. And I got about 3 more years, and I get my degree. In business. That's something I really want to do. Business.
Hold on a second. Phone's ringing. Hold on.
Hello? Hold on.
You want me to do what? Fuck Beyonce.
Hey, I just got a call.
Tommy, Jay-Z will have a fit. He see your black ass in there fucking his girl.
Well, let me tell you something. Did you said you? I'm gonna have to do this to you. Did you said you was waiting on a call? And here you go.
Oh, Tommy, you bold. You bold. You don't do me like that, Tommy. That don't mean you was cool. I'm just a fan of you. Tommy, you so wrong for that.
Oh, my bad, man. That was perfect. You can't set me up like that. Not use it.
I'm happy to eat to you now. I'm good with ether. I've been watching you now. I'm good with the ethers.
So what you said was this. So, all right, so here you go. What you said was that was a thing that you looked at, and it was a calling that you ended up deciding that isn't where you want to go. But I want to ask you, then what did you end up doing? What was the thing you turned to?
Well, I went to school for 2 years for business. I didn't finish because I had a kid, and I said that was more important right then to take care of my kid and, you know, get a job and keep going, keep it moving.
Oh, you got married.
No, I got a kid. I ain't getting married. Hell no.
Wait. Mister, I'm gonna serve the Lord. How did you get the kid?
Well, you know how you get kid. You meet a girl, you fall in love, you have sex, and then the baby comes. Bam, you're in there.
But my God. So you believe in this calling, and you believe that there's a God that will give you this calling. But you didn't believe in the word that this guy has in his book enough to just not take no pussy.
I didn't take the pussy. She gave me the pussy.
You know what I'm saying? But you still had to take it.
Well, hey, she gave it to me. And I said, okay, You know, even though you don't suppose, the Bible says you don't suppose to have sex before you get married.
That's what I'm saying. So why would God call you when y'all don't even listen to it?
Because God is not like us.
Why you listen to me in the background? I can hear me in the background. Why can't I hear me in the background? All right, I got to call him on you for real now. All right, the cab has been paid for. Get up in it, Michi. You my dog, but Michi, man, you should talk about religion, boy. Woo, God, dog. Man, y'all need to stop talking about religion. The cab has been paid for. The cab went around the block, and he hid from it the first time. The first time we called a cab, he hid from it. But they put the GPS on him, and the cab came up. Y'all think this fucking cab be voluntary? That's what y'all think. Y'all think this cab is voluntary. This motherfucker is not voluntary. You don't get a chance. When you see the cab on the street, when it pull over you, it's like a cop pulling you over. When the cop pull you over, you can't say, nah, that's all right. That's what kind of cab this is. You got to get in it. You look different. Y'all got to stop that talking about God in this sense, but then you be the main one not listening to it. If you believe in God, there's nothing wrong with that. But can you believe in him and do it? It's like when we listen to a man telling you to be faithful and how much he believed in marriage and he was cheating on his wife. Simple question. Y'all, serious question. Would you listen to a man tell you how great marriage was and he was cheating on his wife? The first thing you'd ask him is, if it's so damn great, why do you do this? I just want y'all to understand, that's why I don't like getting to religious talk. Because when I get into religious talk, brings out, you know how Frosty Flakes bring out the tiger in you? Well, it brings out the hypocrite in you and you. It will bring out the hypocrite in you. You'll show them you full of shit from all the things you do. Reading that King James Version of the Bible, bring out the hypocrite in you and you. We need to let religion go as black folks. RC, what's going on, man?
Hey, man, first.
What do you think? This is the one thing we know about Christians. They're freak. They are fake. They're fake.
That shit was funny. Talk about, you know, you got to go to Bible school and stuff like that. But, yeah, you just go fuck a bitch and have a kid, and you know what I'm saying? The rest of the shit just went out the door, man. Get the fuck out of here, man.
It is weird. I'm like, God, dude, when they bring these things up, I think that was the biggest reason why I stopped saying that I was a religious person, because I started realizing I don't do half that shit that I'm reading, so why am I going to be that person?
For real.
Well, just like these black dudes. If you're going to call yourself anything, you should adhere to its principle. Why is it that we don't believe in that as people today? Whatever you adhere to, you should have the principles thereof.
Because they don't learn the shit that's in their face, but they want to act like they know what they're preaching.
You sound different, RC, like you sleep.
No, I'm in Florida.
Oh, okay. That will make
sense. This neighborhood is so fucking quiet, man. Oh, I'm still crazy.
What took you to Florida?
Huh?
What took you to Florida?
What took me to Florida?
Yeah, what?
Down here visiting a bunch of relatives. I'm in Palm City now. I'll be heading to Orlando next week. Tampa, Clearwater, Kissimmee. And from there, I got to go all the way back to Miami and see my sister, my baby sister. So she'll be the last stop. So I'm just visiting family. Got a whole bunch of family down here.
Okay, cool. Well, tell us about your Plan A that failed and you had to go to Parkland.
Plan A was the baby's mama. Plan B was, okay, there's no more baby's mama, so what the fuck do I do now? But basically, you know, it's like, hey, you move on. You do what you got to do, you know what I'm saying? I raised the kids by myself, so, you know, it slows shit down. It slows life down. It slows you down. But what's more important, okay, you started some shit, and you got to finish it. You just don't turn around. See, like, today time, these fucking bitches out here, what is the first thing they do? They drop their babies off of their grandmothers, their mothers, their great-grandmothers. Why? Because they still want to party. That shit don't make no sense. If you wasn't ready to have a child, bear a child, be a wife, whatever the fuck, then close the legs. What can I say?
There's a story that I saw today, and I didn't get a chance to do it because I was too busy crying, but I saw a story today, and that story was a woman put her two kids out of her house, I shit you not, just so she could have sex with her boyfriend.
You see what I'm saying? And then you think about what kind of man allowed her to do this.
Thank you.
You see what I'm saying? So we're like fucked up at both ends. And I'm tired of people calling yourself talking about, oh, you don't talk about the men. yes, you do. You know what I'm saying? They ain't shit. They stupid. They retarded. I mean, you set it up. And what sickens me is that what is it going to take for a man to just say, listen, yeah, I want the pussy, but you want me to go inside to a comfortable bed and throw your fucking kids out in the street? Are you fucking kidding me? You know what I'm saying? Is a pussy worth that much? I don't think so. That child.
I tell the story all the time. When I was sleeping with this woman and her little boy came out of the bedroom, I stopped sleeping with her that night and I never slept with her again.
Tell you, and they don't think there's anything wrong. Kids are very influential. You do shit in front of a child, they will go act that shit out. They will go do something that make the next person or an adult go, what the fuck? Where did your child get this shit from? You know, who showed you that? Ooh, and sometimes kids are so smart at 3 or 4 years old. Whoa, you. Mommy's boyfriend comes and he, you know, and he puts something in her pants or whatever. And, you know, they don't know, but they talking it.
Most of us ghetto kids act out sexual acts because we saw it. I was a ghetto kid. I remember getting caught under a slide sleeping with this girl. The girl's name was Ayanna Max. I remember the girl's name. We wasn't having sex, but we was hunching because we had seen people hunch. Get on top
yep.
of each other and just start hunching. We both had mothers. We both had mothers we probably walked in on doing stuff. We thought, oh, let's just go outside and we'll do the same thing.
Yep. And what the fuck? We don't know what we're doing. We think it's a game. Mom and dad are doing or mom and boyfriend doing. We're a fucker. We don't go with this show. And then, you know, other people want to yell at us and scream at us and this and that. But you expose me to this. So, you know, if I'm not ready for this shit, I shouldn't be seeing it. I shouldn't be observing it. And that goes to tell you what's going on with the parenting these days, which is bullshit. It don't exist. But I want to hit the military guy that called earlier.
Mm-hmm.
He got me, like I said to myself, see, some folks don't realize the military is a job after time for idiots. The military is for people who have no self-esteem or self. The military is for people, okay, And I don't see nothing wrong with, like, you ain't got shit going for you out here. So you say, you know what, let me give this shit a shot. But once you find out what the real deal is, you should walk away. Because giving the military 20 years and going into combat and this and that, I got 28 kills. who knows how many where I didn't see where them bullets went. But person to person, up and personal, on a scope, you taking out a motherfucker. That is the most tough feeling in the world. To take a life. And then what's worse is that when you turn around and like the man says, you see the next guy, one of your buddies get killed. And you was killed with this motherfucker. You looked out for each other, this and that. But we all in a circle of chaos. And people think that it's a fucking joke. People don't have no idea. These boys come back home. I came back home. I don't want to talk about this shit. Why? Because at the end of the day, I figured out, I said, that man had a family just like I did. That man had
cousins. That's what I'm saying. That's why you
could
tell about, but that's why you could tell the South Carolina Bama never did anything. Because the way he's talking about the military, he's talking about like it's Candyland and throwing it up too quick, throwing it up too easy.
Yeah, and he's constantly bragging about it. And if he claims he was in some shit, trust me, he won't be thinking that way. And then the next question would be either that or he's just a fucking loony thing. You know what I'm saying? That he might be heavily medicated, this and that. I chose not to do any of that shit because the man, he said it right. They do experiment on you. Experiment on soldiers coming back home. This and that, and what they do. They try to fuck you from head to toe, give you medications that don't work, might make you even worse, and make you commit suicide.
Hold on 1 second, RC. Hold on 1 second. All right, RC. I'm back.
Okay. All right, dude.
Okay.
So, you know, basically, Tommy, what I'm saying is that you find out that what the 1% do, they will use you, spit you out, send you home, say, you know, all right, man, you know, check you later. Thanks a lot for, you know, killing for me. They don't say that, but if you're intelligent enough, you can figure out that, wait a minute, what was this shit really about? Where did I come in? I know where I left. But you try to say to yourself, anybody that goes out there bragging and talking shit about this was so good and this and that, nah, you know why? Because if you're a real human being, you ain't going to just put life itself on the side and put it on a shelf like it didn't exist in the first place.
Yeah.
And that means you're the fucking devil in disguise. And you got to respect your enemy because if you can kill your enemy and your enemy can kill you, then he knows just as much as you and he has the right to kill you because you're trying to kill him.
Hold on a second. I think somebody's at my door. Hold on. Hey, guys, do me a favor. I'm going to gonna go to a break. I'll be right back. Got my man Nigel in here. We're going to get Nigel on the set. We're going to also let Nigel speak online. So, RC, do me a favor. Let me put you on hold. We're going to go to a break, and we'll be right back. Ladies and gentlemen, you know who I am, and you know what this is. This is your world.
Holiday gift ideas from Dragon.
Fed up with holiday shopping? Fed up with spending money on gifts that will be used once and then thrown in a closet? Give Dragon speech recognition software instead. Dragon is fast, it's accurate, it's pretty amazing. Check this out. Open Word. Dragon turns your voice into type. You can dictate documents, email, blog, update your status, search the web, and completely control your computer simply by speaking. Giving Dragon is like giving a lot of gifts that really mean something to people. Dragon gift number one. Give the gift of helping dad be an even better dad. By helping dads control their computers with their voices, Dragon helps them work smarter and faster. They'll be more productive. They'll get home sooner. Right, Sam?
That's right. In my job, I write a ton of reports. With Dragon, I control my computer with my voice. No typing. I write reports better and faster, so I do get home sooner, which means a lot to the kids and to me, too. I also save time writing emails. Send email to sales staff. Travel, body field. East Coast travel budgets are all reimbursable, and if you make quota, your budget is upgraded. Bold, budget is upgraded. Enjoy.
With Dragon, you can create documents, email, blog, update your status, and search the web, controlling your computer with your voice. It's a lot faster than using a keyboard.
Dragon's pretty amazing. It helps me do everything better. Search maps for Italian restaurants near Boston North End.
Dragon gift number two. Give the gift of being a better student. In addition to helping students research online, Dragon helps students speak their papers instead of writing them, getting their best ideas out. Right, John?
Yep, that's very true. I'm not great at writing, but with Dragon, I've found my voice, and writing's much easier now. I went from B's to A's. General Ulysses S. Grant was successful because he used fewer supply lines.
Dragon also helps you surf the web. You can even use it to update your status.
Going mountain biking at 9 a.m. Weather looks great.
Dragon gift number three. Give the gift of being a better writer. With Dragon, you can dictate, record ideas, search online, blog. Dragon helps every writer be more expressive, even prolific.
I write a popular blog on climate issues, over 3 million words so far, and Dragon helps me research. It helps me get all the ideas in my head out. I couldn't possibly blog without Dragon. Hydrogen takes fossil fuels to create, which diminishes the value of hydrogen as a clean energy source. By speaking my thoughts, my blog's conversational too, which people like when you're talking about biomass and global warming.
This year, give a gift that really shows people how much they mean to you. Give them a gift that makes their lives easier. A gift that helps them keep up with the amazing capability of their brains. A gift that puts them in control.
Dragon helps me control my computer with my voice.
I speak and my computer types.
Dragon is
great.
Great. Dragon is a great gift.
Dragon normally sells for $99.99. For a limited time this holiday, you can get Dragon for just $74.99. For just $74.99, you can create documents, email, blog, update your status, and search the web simply by speaking at up to 160 words per minute. Dragon works with any accent and comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. With each Dragon speech recognition software package, we also include a free high-quality headset microphone, a $20 value. Order now, and you'll receive a free $30 lifestyle speech pack to voice-enable your music catalog and IM. Call the number on your screen or visit GiveDragon.com. Again, call the number you see right now or go to GiveDragon.com.
Dragon gift number four. Give the gift of recording your family's history.
My kids got me Dragon to record our family history. I'm not a great typist. Dragon made speaking our family story just a really natural thing. My parents were immigrants from Italy. My father couldn't read or write. I became a doctor. Dragon's amazing. Now I'm recording our family history just by talking. I wish my dad had Dragon. It's a great gift.
Dragon speech recognition software, normally $99.99, yours now for just $74.99. Be more productive and creative. Order now and you'll also receive a free $30 lifestyle speech pack to voice-enable your music catalog and IM. To purchase, call the number on your screen right now or visit GiveDragon.com. Dragon, from Nuance, there's no gift like it.
DMV Staffing, national industry leader in staffing opportunities. Our years of staffing experience has taught us a few things. If you provide the right opportunity and a very high salary, people will perform their very best. We understand that needing more money than you're currently making is not your fault. We know if given the right opportunity, you could make more money What if you could send your children to the best schools and take multiple vacations a year? If you had the right opportunity to make more money, you could.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Tommy Sotomayor. And I'm sure you're like everyone else out here that wants to take control of your work future. Well, one of the best ways that we here at Your World, My Views know how to do that is to get in contact with DMV Staffing. Just log on at dmvstaffing.com or go to yourworldmyviews.com and tommysotomayor.com, sotomayortv.com, where the links will take you to DMV Staffing, because we know DMV Staffing will do all that they can to make sure that you have the job of your dreams. You want to make sure that you can take that vacation you wanted and you can take care of your family as well as those around you. And that starts finding a job that can help you be financially secure. So go on to dmvstaffing.com and make sure that you let them know Tommy Sotomayor sent you.
It's your money. Use it when you need it.
My name is the Dragon Master, the Doom Leader, enter grapple mode. And we built this house in Hasbro.
I don't know what they're talking about. Some people out there say, I'll be ringing up
And now, more from the man that's able to make even his own dog question their friendship. Your host, Tommy Sotomayor.
He said you talking about him and he heard you on the mic. What's going on, everybody? It's your boy, Tommy Sotomayor. As you can see, I am not alone. I got my man, Nigel, in the building. What up, Nigel?
Hey, what's going on, Tommy?
The mother, he is going to join us
on this topic. Topic is a good one. It is one where we are talking about, what is it? What happened? What do you do when your plan A fails? And you said it's something that you want to talk about. We want to talk about the life situation too. But what's the first? Tell them about your adventure of getting to Atlanta.
So tell me why. According to Hartsfield International Airport, this has been the worst weather incident they had in years. Tell me why I'm supposed to be here at 4:22 and why am I here right now?
The man just getting here at 2 o'clock. He was supposed to be here 4 o'clock this afternoon. So, what was the thing that kept you from getting here to Atlanta on time?
Tornado. Like, I'm not even joking. Like, nowhere else in Georgia, it just hit right dead center in Atlanta. It just went away like it was cool.
Sitting here, and I literally was watching the whole outside. It was sunny, and it went black. You know, we drive right in the middle of downtown. So, a little bit of, right at the edge of downtown. It's that downtown to look out the window. But I guess this is called, I don't know what this is called. Anyway, I look out the window, and it went black. And then you just heard this rumble, and it just started raining. Like, I got a balcony. My balcony goes all the way around. My balcony, all that shit was blowing around. I got cigarette butts on the back. I don't know where the fuck they blew up from. I got they blew up from the street. It was blowing that damn hard in here. It was like, I just thought it was going to be it. And I was worried about what you was going to do. That's why I said, well, if you wanted to go home, you can, and we can reschedule for you to come out to L.A. or something like that. But then you like, well, fuck, I'm already out here. They got you a flight. It was cool that they got you here tomorrow to take you to come to eat. But we want to talk about the question of the show. The question of the show. I talked about my plan. I was going to get married, probably by the end of the year, that shit got crap. And try to figure out what has been something that in your life that you thought you worked or you didn't reach, and you was like, well, what the fuck do I do now? I planned for this.
Anyway, started with my marriage. actually plan on getting, I plan on getting married a while ago as a kid. For whatever reason, I don't know why. So I'm like, all right, cool, I want to get married. At first, I thought, like, well, I'm going to do, why the hell do I want to get married? So whatever. Fast forward, 22 years old, I got married, like, cool. Next comes, what, the kid, then comes the house, or whatever comes first. But the problem is, I got married 3 months after knowing this kid. That's already a problem in itself. Mm-hmm.
What made you get married for?
Desperation, only, came from Japan, moving to California. Whole culture shock, 2 years in a whole different country, it's like a whole different happening. Hell happened. 3 months into it, thought, okay, I get it. But still, it wasn't the same, though. It wasn't the same. I didn't get it the way I liked it. I had to be a dickhead.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
American culture makes you do that for some reason. So you got married. How long was the marriage?
2 years. Well, 3 years together and 2 years separated. I left in California.
What made you leave?
I got tired of California. And I want to leave all the memories behind. I'm like, all right, cool. You stay over there. I'll come over here. She can keep the bed. She had her own car. We didn't have any kids, thank God. So it's pretty easy to separate that.
So you made the decision to separate?
Yeah, before that. We had a similar relationship. You know what I mean? Like asking her friends, whatever, what have you. But the problem is, I didn't have a problem with it. When you start doing that in front of my family, like my mom, my aunt took her out to go to a bar, you know, have a few drinks, get to know, you know, the daughter-in-law, and bam, you start hollering at her, and not so much they hollering at her, but she started, like, enjoying it, like, the wrong way. Like, hey, just embracing that shit right in front of my mom and my aunt.
Right. The wrong time to be doing
it. Absolutely. Next day, what happened? She's like, hey, Nigel, come on out. All right, cool. What happened? Dude shows up. This time, she starts fighting the dude off, like, oh, my God, what's this nigga doing here, da-da-da-da-da. Bouncer almost whooped this dude ass and kicked him out. If my mom didn't step in and say, this is the same dude from yesterday. That was how. And what really made me mad is that I went to go pick up my grandmother because she was getting a pacemaker done, and I went to go pick her up from the hospital. This chick was talking about, oh, well, I'm going to clean your mom's room, even though she said, don't clean the mom's room. I'm like, whatever. She's like, are you going to help out? I'm like, no, I'm going to pick my grandmother up. And this chick flipped me off.
What?
The wife.
Did you know, be honest, did you know that she was kind of like this before you got her? Be honest.
Yeah.
All right, so that's all I want. If somebody can be honest and say, hey, I kind of knew what I was getting into. I got into it hoping for that. Because a lot of us do that.
I saw the red flag. My homeboy saw the red flag. I just ignored it. Why? Because I thought I couldn't change it. I'm like, man, now let me just see if I can make this work out. This one's going to be different. Even though I knew it wasn't going to be different. In other words, I was a retard. I was missing.
We all go through that, man. And I want you to sit here for a second. We're going to get these phone calls together, get back in the phone calls. We're talking about plan A. Plan A fails. How do you move on to plan B? I'll ask you this before I pick up the phone. What was the next logical step after plan A, the marriage that you got into fail? How did you go to the next phase of your life? What was the transition? Like right now, I'm struggling. What's the transition?
I'd say my transition was a little bit different. I took her back to my family's house, you know, introduced her to the family the first time. The second time I went back to Connecticut, I went without her. It was just me, the family, sat down and had a talk with everybody, how they feel about it. I think it's so much the fact that I haven't been home for so long. It's been about 4 years since I last saw my family. I went to Japan, straight to California, no sign of Connecticut, finally got back home. I guess I got my wits about me, you know what I mean? Got around with my natural habitat, okay, got my thinking cap straight, and what the hell am I doing? Why am I married to you?
Oh, so you had a epiphany of what the fuck. So you really, okay, so it's easier when you're the one and you feel like, what the fuck am I doing? So you say you got to that point.
Yeah, it's a hell of a lot easier when you're the one leaving because you know exactly what's going to happen. You know the steps you're doing. When the other person breaks up with you, you don't know what's going to happen. You're always blindsided by it.
That is true, ladies and gentlemen. Number 347-989-8310. I'm here with my man Nigel. My man Nigel came all the way down here from Connecticut just to chill with me, and we're going to have us a good time before he leaves. This is real support from Soto Nation. So he came down. We were supposed to be in Miami, but we got hoodwinked. We got bamboozled by that guy, whoever he is. I kept hoping he'd call in and explain himself. Going to buy a hotel, but I'm going to buy a damn advertising. That's some crazy shit. When you
gonna bring us down there and try to fuck us or something. That's why I quick told you. I said, man, I don't think we should go. If we go, we're gonna go on our own.
And the fact that you were talking about like not pay, you were talking about paying advertising up front. Didn't Dehudi do that?
Yeah. Dehudi, everybody else that's done business with me did this. They didn't sit up there and say, that's who was like, let's hang out and stuff, but he did business beforehand. He was like, I'm about doing business.
Yeah.
And another shit is that us. I just believe in doing what you say you're going to do. Think about it. When I talked to you, and I said, we're going to go to Miami. What's the first thing I did? Hell, I had to find two damn tickets. I had to cancel two damn tickets.
Yeah.
Because I thought what we were going to do.
And it turns out the first ticket was the one I was going
to
be at anyway.
Yeah, we're going to come here. We bought the first ticket to Atlanta. Then we said, let's go to Miami. So I canceled that ticket, which still said I paid for. So now I got two tickets I paid for, which will hopefully come off of next week.
Yeah.
I got two tickets I paid for, one to Atlanta, one to Miami, and then we get this one, we'll be coming back here, all because somebody was fucking with us and lying. And I guess it's all stupid. I don't know about tax. How much does tax ride cost?
$35.
I was always wondering. I've never really got any more, so I got to get that, too. We're going to get that, and we got to get you paid. How do you eat?
Man, I haven't eaten since lunch.
What I can try to do when we get through is I make really good hamburgers. Make good hamburgers and eat some Pringles chips. That all you got to make spaghetti. I don't know what I'm doing with it tonight. I make really good spaghetti. So we'll figure out what we're going to do. I'll probably do spaghetti after this. Ladies and gentlemen, the number is 347-989-8310. Let me go to, people say they got some Plan B stories. Raindrop got a story. What's up, Raindrop?
How you doing, Tommy?
Doing all right. Talk to me.
Now, I'm here to cook corn for you, Tommy. I'm only here to challenge your concepts, if you don't mind.
You will not challenge my concept, my corncept tonight. I will not have my concept challenged.
Let me get with this story. Well, right now I'm in college and I've been trying to find work. So I've been applying to many jobs and trying to get applications. And it seemed like no one's really calling me. So I'm just starting up a plan to start my own little business. Yeah, I just need to get things together. Yeah, that's why.
You've been filling out job applications. Why were you in the market to fill out job applications?
I went in the market to fill out job application. I was trying to find jobs, so I was filling out a bunch of applications.
Yeah, well, I was saying, what happened? Was this your first opportunity to get a job? What was going on?
I applied for a bunch of restaurants, and I applied to companies, but I don't seem to have enough experience for those companies.
What was the line of work that you were trying to get?
Kind of work to build up my credit so I can own my own business and have an LLC and, you know, an limited liability company and also to pay off interest of any loans. So I have to find work. So I'm going to try.
What was your plan A? I'm trying to figure this out. What was the thing that you were doing or the thing that you were trying to do and it went wrong?
I was trying to apply for jobs, but I can't seem to find work, so I'm going to try and get some loans and get some people to help pay interest so I can find a good hustle. Right now I'm thinking of a smoothie hustle I'm trying to do. Probably don't have enough material to get the money.
Wow! I have no idea what just happened. I don't know what just happened. What? What just happened?
Is he not in Atlanta? Actually,
there we go. He said, "Well, you know, I was like, well, what was your line of work, man? Anything? That was your plan A?
Let me tell you, y'all made this the worst show I've ever done. Y'all made this a horrible show. Now, the next call is y'all better have a fucking plan. Y'all better have a damn plan. When I ask you on this motherfucking phone, you better have a plan. Don't tell me that your plan was I didn't have no plan. What's your plan? I don't know. I was winging it. You didn't have no plan, A. Hey, what was you doing? I was just filling out applications. For what? I don't give a fuck. You know what I'm saying? I was just filling shit out. God, dog, you was a good dude, Raindrop, but you did a bad day to call. The damn call out, y'all can still be my friend. But I'm calling cab on you when you need one call for you. The cab has been paid for you. Get in, Raindrop, and you come back when you turn a dewdrop. Or maybe, like, you just get dried up. But my goodness, I don't know how I can help you do this. He said, I'm just trying to get a job to get my credit right. But you're not telling me how your credit went bad. Like, there had to be a thing that made your credit go bad. So that might have been a place where you could start at with saying, you know, this was what my plan A said. I had a plan where I was doing this, this, that, and the other. And then shit happened. My credit got off the job.
What happened?
I tried to run him down. And I asked him, well, why were you in the job?
Fired, you quit.
Anything happens, you slap a bitch. You know, that happens.
That's a quick way to lose a
You know what I'm saying?
Apologize.
You know what I'm saying? Exactly. You be one of them dudes, and you got to apologize and shit. Let me bring in Robert, see if Robert's got a situation. Robert, tell me your story. And don't get called a cab on you. I think I was scared, Robert. Robert said, I ain't talking bullshit. I mean, calling cabs on people they friendly to. Let me bring in Joe. What's up, Joe?
Hey, what's up? How's it going?
I'm going all right. I still got some more money left. There's some cabs outside, so
oh, Jesus,
walk lightly.
I don't want a cab. I do not
Treat
want a
lightly.
Cab. Well, well, I'm still I'm 25. I'm still young, but I had a nice plan out leaving high school. I wanted to be a U.S. Marshal, and in order to do that, you got to have a 4-year degree. So I went to school, got to my junior year. My dad fell ill; he had kidney disease, and so I had to stop school, maintain the family, and once they got squared away, I moved from Texas. I'm from Texas. I moved from Texas, went on my own, didn't go back to school, decided to go for local law enforcement, and went to the test for Seattle here in Washington. Got to the test, missed it by a point. So that was my plan B. Now I'm still going to go for the department again, also going for another other department as well. But, yeah, that's just what happened with me. That's where I'm at right now.
So what is it that you think you can do? Do you think there's a chance that you can get back into your plan A?
Right now, with my age and debt from student loans, there's a chance that I have to go through local law enforcement. Generally, if you want to go in any federal law enforcement, you got to do either a 4-year degree, 3 years of law enforcement, or 3 years of military service. So
you said debt. What put you in debt?
School. I was in middle class, like lower middle class family. My dad had 20 years as a bus driver. He was making decent money. The problem was is that my parents had a business, and they owed a lot of back taxes. So even though my dad was bringing in a good income, that was going through the taxes. Now, there's one thing about FAFSA, the financial aid for school. It doesn't take into account debt. So if you have a nice general income, they don't see that, and they'll say, okay, grants, you don't get. Scholarships, if this is how much we want your family to contribute, that's the final word. Here's loans. Student loans, student loans, student loans. So that's my only way. That's the only way I pay for college. So I'm in like $30,000.
You know what's so crazy? A lot of people that happen, that college is fucking them up.
College really is fucking them up.
The fees from college. Most college people, when they get out of college, they are automatically broke because I think like Fannie Mae gave us, I think, like 6 months, and you had to start back paying them. But you had to pay them before you got a job, a real damn job that could pay them.
Yeah. They actually have it to where you gotta, you can do three types of deferment. School, which means you go back to school, or unemployment, or you can do a financial deferment, which means you don't make enough money. But for me, like me looking back on it, college was almost a waste of time. Like right now,
yep.
I'm in security because my plan C is if law enforcement doesn't work out, I'm going to be going into a security professional type of atmosphere. And people think, oh, security, dead-end jobs, whatever. But honestly, you can get certificates in security and make big money. Like, you can start low in a company, make enough money, get a certified protection officer certificate, and then you can start, like, being a bodyguard for somebody or executive protection. So that's my plan C. I don't want to rely on that because I still have my dream is to be a cop, and I know a lot of cops get a bad name, and there are bad cops out there. But
yeah, are you
life,
worried about the name that cops have right now? Like the word cop or police officer is almost like a fucking four-letter word. Well, cops is one.
Yeah, I mean, I'm from Houston, Texas, and I came from the hood, and Houston's always been known as Gun City. And I had friends who were in gangs. I had, you know, the local, I think a couple of shows back or whatever, you were talking about how you had that one guy in the neighborhood who would get you $10 or so, and turns out he was doing some stuff, but as a kid, you didn't know what he was doing. Well, I had this sweet old lady as a neighbor, and she would give candy and chips and ice cream to all the little kids. One day, I'm standing outside of my neighborhood, a SWAT team busting into her house. Turned out sweet old lady was a drug lord. I didn't see that coming. But, no, for me, the way I look at it is people, and really, like, kind of speaking on that with you is, people are always going to have a negative image of what you do. You're a shock jock. Some people don't agree with what you say. I want to be a cop. There's cops out there beating and killing people for no reason.
I hate when people call me that.
Well, I mean, okay.
I know what you're talking about. I just said I hate the name of it because when people call a shock jock, and no offense, but a shock jock is somebody who just says stupid shit to get an opinion. Or to get a response. A shock jock is a dude that, like, it would be like if I had a show and I had chicks with tits in me. Or if I was, you know, that's what a shock jock is.
I'm like, I understand how we talk.
Right. I don't do that. I'm not trying to be funny, but I don't do that. You've never seen me do the dancing bear shit. You've never seen me do no outlandish shit. I've never done
that. Right. Right. And I apologize for that.
What I see, and it's weird when people compare me to a shock jock. And somebody said that I'm a truth jock. I like that. I like that type. Because that's all I do. I don't come in here and just say some shit I don't believe. You talk to me when it's when I talk to Nigel when his camera go off, he'll hear the same old shit that I'll say to y'all when the camera go off. I promise you with. Anybody that's ever met me outside knows I say the same shit that I said I'll say to Diddy. So I'm not trying to shock people. I just think the truth is somehow shocking.
Like a lot of stuff.
See, when I refer to shock jock, I refer to just that your information that you give is so shocking to other people. Like, you know, you can tell somebody the truth or give somebody a theory that they don't agree with, and they'll sit there and say, nah, you know, I don't want to hear that, or that's stupid, or that's just stupid mess. When in reality, they really need to sit down and look, hey, what he's speaking, it's truthful. But going back to what I was saying is it's for me, I'm going to represent who I am, not for what other people do. I'm a very vocal person. Some of my mom and dad taught me a lot of my situations that I've dealt with as a security guard, which have been I've been hit a few times, but a lot of them I've de-escalated verbally. And, you know, there's a lot of people out there that let the stress get to them as law enforcement. But for me personally, even though people hate cops and most people say, oh, I hate cops, I hate this, that's not my problem. I'm here to do a job. I know how to do the job. I know what I am and am not capable of. You know what? You wear a gun on your hip, you have to be prepared to take the life of another person if it comes to it. The law provides you the ability to protect yourself and another person's life, deadly force. I may be out there, someone may be trying to kill another person, I may shoot that person, and then the next day turn in my gun and my badge and say, you know what, this ain't for me. I don't know, but I know I'm more than comfortable in doing that, that's what I want to do, and if I'm going to let somebody, you know, my brother, he hates cops. But you know, I'm not going to sit here and say, all right, well, because you hate cops, I'm not going to be a cop.
Well, let me tell you what you should, how you should view it, and then maybe I'm wrong for saying it. How anyone going into the law enforcement field should view it as you can be the change. I did the same thing when I came into radio. I can be the change. I can be the difference. I know how you look at these people. I can be the difference. Everybody can come into any field, and it'd be a fucked up field, and you can clean it up if you have that thought. It would be great if more people, that's why I always say, I said blacks need to send more people into law, into politics, and into all of these places where we say it's fucked up. I don't tell them to avoid them. I tell them you need to send more people. If you say it's fucked up, send more good people in there. If you say the teachers are fucked up, clean them out and send some better teachers in there. Don't say do away with school.
I was talking about the other day, I wanted to be a cop for my hometown.
Mm-hmm.
So see, you got enough, you got a brother in here, says they want to be a cop. So, Joe, if that's what you want to end up being, I'll give a fuck if everybody tell you cops ain't shit. As long as you ain't shit, you'll be a cop that, unless you're not one of those people that ain't shit, then you'll be a cop that's something. You'll be a cop that's worth something.
Yeah,
all of us can make a change if we just start literally with ourselves and we represent what it is that we supposedly uphold in an honorable manner, whatever the fuck it is.
Yeah.
Well,
and I also, I wanted to say something real quick about the whole domestic violence issue.
All right, hit it quick.
Like, my mom always told me, she's like, look, don't ever hit a woman unintentionally, but if she punch you in the face, hit her. And that's what I live by. I'm sorry.
Simple self-defense, of course.
Thank you. It doesn't make any sense. I don't know why anybody would sit up there and just believe. As I told Lord Jamar on the first half of the show, and we both sit up there. I love what he said. When I said you wouldn't slap a bear, he said, especially if that bear came in the morning at 6 o'clock. He said if this bear came at 6 o'clock in the morning, smelled like Hennessy, hell no, he would kill that bear.
Yo, I'm in the whole first
inspector. Oh, God, he had me dying, because I always get that analogy of a bear, because I say a bear will fuck you up. And he just went on with it, was like, hell no, I would slap that bear, especially if he come in at 6 in the morning, smell like Hennessy. I couldn't stop laughing. And so I said, that shit fucks with me. Thank you, Joe, for that phone call. And look, college is a weird thing. But I tell people this. This is a good thing about college. Here's what you should look at college as. College should be a place for you to learn how to interact with different people. And it should also be a place where you make connections. Most of the people who have a problem with college or don't like college or college went wrong for them because they didn't make connections. If you don't make connections when you're in college, they don't give a fuck what you really know. There's always somebody that knows what you know. It's like a fine chick. There's always somebody that knows what or is fine as that chick. Renee Zellweger isn't fine, but she became a big actress because of who she knows more than what she can do. But you go to California and L.A., it's a lot of pretty bitches that can't get nothing.
The pretty bitches are dime a dozen.
Thank you. It's fine bitches all over the
place.
Yeah, dime a dozen. There are fine bitches all over the place. There's a reason why you can get a fine bitch, because somebody had that fine bitch.
Somebody's sick of her bullshit.
Right. There's a reason why you can. There's somebody that's going to come after me. There's a nut, whatever it is. There's a reason why this exists. Go to college and get you a connection. Go to college and meet you some friends. So therefore, when those friends need something or those friends have something, they can reach back to you. Go to college and network.
As a matter of fact, that's one of the, when you have like a year left in the military, that's actually one of the classes. It's crazy. I was talking to the instructors about that. They should give you that class halfway through your enlistment.
Yep.
Because they tell you that 80% of all jobs that you get are from within the job itself. So, for example, I have a FedEx job. How do I know? I went to high school with the manager. The manager put in a good word for me, and bam, I got the job next week.
Nice.
Like, literally, when I get back home, I'll have a job at Federal Express.
I'm the same way. I tell people. I always talk about my first job at IBM. I didn't get that job because of what I knew. I got it because of who I knew, because I was friends with one of the guys who was in school. When I got out, I was like, man, I need a job. He apparently had been at IBM for 3 weeks and did so good that they said, if you know anybody else that has your work ethic. Do you know he actually got me hired before he got his own brother? Because he felt like my work ethic was higher than his own brother. He was like, you're going to represent my name.
Well, yeah, effort plays a big role in that one. That's your promotion. Promotions in the military. You may not be the best at your job, but if you can lead them or at least show that you have the drive to learn or know yourself and seek self-improvement, promotion.
And I thought about this. I said, I got to walk into a job where I wasn't qualified for it, all because of the word of another person who got that job because he was qualified. If I had never met this guy in that place and befriended that guy in that place, I'd have never got that opportunity. Who knows where I would be now? I may still be one of those guys that's still just looking, trying.
It took me a while to get out of my shell, too, because I'm a notorious introvert. Like, I love my alone time. Literally, I can spend any. Matter of fact, I did that in July. I spent almost the entire month just in my apartment. Not because I was lonely, but because I just enjoy the solitude.
I'm the same way.
Like, no joke. It was actually some days I was actually glad my wife worked overtime. I'm like, damn, she ain't gonna come home tonight? Oh, she's going to the club tonight? Shit.
When I was married, I ain't going to lie. My wife was a nurse. They worked 12 hours. I used to like when she worked 12 hours. She worked that 12 hours when I was at home. I enjoyed that. And, hell, I was on the road. I didn't mind being on the road. I guess she didn't mind me being on the road either. That's why she was fucking niggas when I was gone. But that's not the point. I honestly, you look at my place, I'm typically alone. From the time I came back on the trip, you see, all my clothes are still packed in them bags from the last time I came out from the trip.
Straight bachelor pad.
Yeah, I live like I live. I get the fuck up. It is what it is. I like being alone, but I don't like being, like, people always ask me, how were you able to maintain a relationship with your girl on the other side of the coast? It didn't bother me because I was like, we could see each other when we came, but I can work.
In the back of your mind, you know you got that support. You got someone.
Yeah, that's what I kept saying. I got somebody that's there for me when I need.
And you have time to miss them, then you can see them, then you go separate ways. And honestly, I kind of think that's how my relationships are probably going to end up being, because I can't be up under a chick the whole time. Otherwise, I would go nuts.
Right.
I'll find a reason to leave, or I'll find a reason for her to leave.
Yeah, like, people was wondering, how could y'all be so far away? I was like, it's really not that bad. It didn't bother me like that. As long as we would talk every now and again and send a text and say we love each other, and I send a picture of some dicks, and she sends a picture of some tits, and we'd be all right. I didn't have to see you all the time. And I think it's because I work better alone. And people are looking at me, I can't work. Because then I feel like I owe them something. Like, when my daughter's around me, I owe you some time. I have to give you some time. When she's gone, like, I can hit it. I can work. If I'm with a girl, she can't just sit here and look at me. I'm like, I got to work, man. I don't want to go do something. I don't know. People always want to take you off your square, and you can be on your square whenever. Let me see if I can bring in some more calls. The number's 347-989-8310. Shay, what's going on?
Hey, Tommy. First, I want to, before I get into the plan A, I wanted to say thank you for giving us the opportunity to submit the images and the videos.
Well, thank you. Did you send in one?
Yeah, I'm the one that sent you in the one with the magnifying glass where the glass shatters.
That was you?
Yeah.
That was a good one. I can't wait to put that one up. We're going to have to do some extending to it because it's short. It's only like, what, 7 seconds?
Yeah, because, because I do modeling and stuff, so I built all that in mesh. And anyways, yeah, YouTube videos are usually supposed to be about 10-second intros, whereas HBO specials or TV shows or something are, you know, normally a minute, you know, but it, whatever. It just was fun to do it. That's the point. And it was cool that you gave us the chance to do it.
And
so
I like it. And what I'm going to do is even when I post them for people who, even if they don't get picked, the fact that their images and their work is out there and is named and people can see it and say, hey,
exactly.
I somebody to do that for me.
Exactly. So it was just cool that you gave us the opportunity. And, yes, to the people in chat, I am an older white woman. But anyways, I do have a plan A for you. When I was born and raised in California, and I lived all over the state. But when I was 16 years old, this is the mid-80s, okay, there was a hair place called Hot Locks. And I lived in the San Fernando Valley, and I really, really, really wanted to do work in the studios, right? I wanted to become a hairstylist inside the studios. And anyways, I was raising myself, taking care of myself, and the house that I was living at, like I was in Continental Beauty School and all that other crap, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, anyways, the cops busted in the apartment that I was in, and I got hauled off to juvie because I didn't have any legal guardians to take care of me. And back at that time, being as old as I was, they couldn't find a foster home for me. So they kicked me out of the state. So rather than keeping you locked up till you're 18 or 21, they just kick you out, right? It was kind of a deal between California, Texas, Florida, and New York. So if they asked you, do you have any relatives or do you have relatives and you happen to name one of those states, what they would do is give you a one-way ticket to that state where your relatives are, but they wouldn't let your relatives know you were coming, okay?
Wow.
Yeah, it was a pretty messed up deal. So anyways, in 1985, December 30th, I got to New York. One-way ticket, kicked out of the state of California till I was 18 or 21. It was 18, you came back with a guardian, 21 to come back on your own. But since you're already technically emancipated because you don't have a guardian, well, you're not going to come back at 18 with a guardian, right? You get it? So
mm-hmm.
It's cool.
Yeah.
So anyways, when I got here, I was already halfway through my 11th grade year. But I had this dream in my head that I wanted to work in those studios. So I was going to, one way or another, get the degree here, get my license here, I mean. And I was going to get my butt back to California because this is where I was born and bred and raised, right? And I'm going to get somehow back to California and I'm going to work in the studios. So when I got to school and they started putting me, you know, into school and stuff, they said, well, you can't get your license. And I said, well, why not? And they go, well, you're already halfway into your 11th grade year, and you would have to go back to the beginning of 11th grade to get your full 2 years in at the trade school. I said, yeah, but I got Continental Beauty School hours from California. They go, we won't count those. Well, I said, okay. So I volunteered for an extra year of high school, which nobody could believe. Like, everybody was just like, no way, you volunteered. And I really, really, really wanted that license, right? And I aced everything. I did everything well. I won the hairstyling competitions. I was picked to go to state in my senior year. And then as soon as I graduated from high school, I got married. I knew my husband for 3 months, same as the other guy was telling you, 3 months. Well, we're actually going on 26 years, though. My parents only knew each other for 3 weeks. They're on their 44th year now.
Let me ask you this question. I got to
mm-hmm.
ask. You said your parents, and then you said
mm-hmm.
your parents are still together. How did you end up?
Yeah, they're still together. My parents are together, but my mom is, like, psycho crazy, and she tried to burn down the house with me in it when I was a kid. So even though they're together, I'm not part of that there.
So what made you the outcast? Tell me what made you the outcast. We got to find out. What made you the outcast?
Oh, okay. Yeah, I think I got that pretty well figured out when I found out who my real father was, right? And
uh-oh.
I think that every time she looked at me, I think she seen him.
Oh.
And she never dealt with that fact. And then I found him when I was 31. And I came back to California, and I did meet him and everything, and found out I even had two half-sisters and stuff.
Did he know you existed before you met him?
He says he didn't, but my family swears he did. But I don't... With as crazy as she was, to be honest with you,
that's what I was about
I mean,
to
this
say.
Woman is absolutely insane, you know what I mean? So I almost can't fault the man.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds plausible. So, like, how old were you when you found out that you were not a part of the clan that you were in?
12.
Jesus. Oh, okay, so now we got to go to, because this Plan A thing is really like, culminating into a lot of stuff, a lot of breakdowns here. How did that make you feel as a 12-year-old to know that everything you know, your Plan A, your life up to 12 years, was fake?
Well, here, you want to hear really crazy and fake? This is the craziest part. Because my stepdad didn't adopt me and my mom did not want me to know that he didn't adopt me, she forged my birth certificate. So I went by his last name for 18 years. And when they gave me my records when I was 18 in New York, right, it had my real last name on it. And I said, what's this? And they said, that's your last name. I go, no way, you're so full of shit, man. This is my last name here. And they go, no, that's your alias. I go, what? I shit you not, man. I can't make this stuff up if I tried. She was just that crazy.
18 years. And you found out by just going to the state. Do you know how fucked up that is?
But that's the truth, man. It's just crazy. Yeah. So even when I had my daughter and I was, because I had to have a C-section and I was drugged up and everything, I told them, do not let me fill out her birth certificate because I was only 19 when I had her. And I said, because I'll accidentally do something wrong on it, so don't let me do it when I'm doped up. And they did. They gave it to me when I was doped up, and I put my name, my alias I went by on there. Because I was so used to that alias.
You're so used to that.
It took me 6 years to fix my daughter's birth certificate.
Jesus. Okay, let's go back again. Your Plan A was 18 years. You had a family. That family had been destroyed. You knew something was wrong, which is why you left, because you were being treated like an outcast. You were a teen mom. That was something I'm sure you didn't plan either.
I was married. I was married, yes, and I was a teen mom. But I did get married at 18.
Mm-hmm. You wanted to... let me see. When you got married, were you trying to make up for what you had realized that you didn't have? You were trying to fix the broken family that you had at home?
I was trying to escape the sheriff deputy that they put me with. When I came here and I didn't have anybody to live with, right, when they kicked me out of the state, when I got here, it was December 30th, 1985. It was 0 degrees. It was the Rochester Airport. You can look up, just if anybody ever wanted to check, just check out. December 30th, 1985, Rochester, New York, 11 o'clock at night, 0 degrees, okay? I came here with nothing, not even a jacket. You know, I'm California dressed, kicked out, and I got to call what family I have, and nobody knows I'm here. The only one that would take me in was a sheriff deputy, and he was the meanest motherfucker you can imagine. So I needed a way to escape him. And when I met my husband, he knows this. I mean, 26 years later, he knows the truth. He was partially an actual escape from that situation.
I understand. Okay, so I guess that you were 45, so I'm almost right on the nose,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, September.
Damn,
I'm
45.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So let's get to more of, because your life was a basic Plan A falls out, Plan B falls out, Plan D falls out. And seriously, like, you are, and the fact that you are, it seems as jovial as you are, I got to ask before we continue to go down that line of questioning, how did you get to this peace that it sounds like you have? Because it sounds like you're like me, like you look over the failures, and I have to laugh at them. People wonder how I can talk about the shit that I've been through, and I still have to laugh at it because I'm like, at the end of the day, I'm still alive.
Right. Well, you do. You have to laugh at it. Plus, I look at it this way. I'm not my mom. I'm not these people. And no matter what they do, all that really matters is what I do and what my mental attitude is. Because really that's what we control, is our mental attitude.
Nice. So you got into design. You said you're doing design, and that's one of the things you sent me. Tell me about the marriage. What happened? How did the marriage end, and what was the next plan? Because we're like on plan, I think, D right now.
Okay, yeah, so when we got married, he was had a really good roofing job, so he was able to provide, which was good because I told him, well, if I'm not going to do – well, when we very first got married, I started doing hair here, right? So, but everything I was doing, I hated it. I mean, I hated it with a passion. I was working on old people. This was not what I wanted. I just wanted to work in the studios. I wanted to work with rocker hair. You know what I mean? Like, it was like, this is what I grew up with, the rockers and the bands and the, you know, I don't know, I was a valley girl. You know what I mean? It was just one of those things. And so I
Your idea of the hair you'd be doing wasn't the hair that you were actually doing.
Exactly.
You thought
and
you
so,
were going to be doing Motley Crue's hair, and you was just doing a Motley Crue.
Exactly. So I told my husband, I said, well, I really want to be a stay-at-home mom if that's okay. And, of course, he agreed with that, and I was like, awesome. Perfect. And so I only had my one daughter. You know, we didn't have any more kids. I couldn't have any more kids. But needless to say, yeah, and we've been together 26 years. And we've had our, oh, my God, crazy ins and outs. And we're, you know, we're best friends. He listens to your show.
Nice.
And but anyways, yeah. And our daughter turned out wonderful. Like, I mean, she graduated from high school early. She enlisted in the military at 17. She's always taken care of herself. I was always honest with her. I said, your mom is dead ass broke. You're going to have to make your own way, so get to it. And that's just the way it is. So, I don't know. And then I enjoy making stuff. Like, I enjoy doing things. But I've had all sorts of plan A's. I mean, I've worked at, I've taught driver's ed. I've worked at skydiving places. I used to skydive. I worked at a skydiving place. Driver's ed, though, is really scary stuff to teach. If you want to have a mad Russian life, teach driver's ed. Anything that, like, had some kind of adventure to it, you know, like, would bring up that excitement level. I don't know how to explain it.
So let me ask. You only had one child.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Why is that? Like, you know, a lot of girls who are in your situation end up making a lot of children, trying to just find a family. How did you end up to getting just one and realizing, hey, this is enough?
Well, for one thing, like, I never got pregnant before her, and then even afterwards I couldn't get pregnant because I was – this is going to sound crazy. I was born with two uteruses. Okay.
Well.
So, more than likely, it would have ended up being a tubal pregnancy, and they said it was very lucky that I got pregnant to begin with.
So, this is... I'm about to ask a question. Probably just seem real childish. Do two uteruses feel better than one?
I'm going to be honest. Okay, I've told you. I've called you before, and I'm very honest with you. The thing is that guys would tell me that they're hitting something, but I didn't know what it was, and I didn't know I had the two uteruses until I actually was having the C-section, and then the doctors explained to me why I couldn't have the baby, why they had to do the C-section, and then it explained why I had such horrible pains because I had two periods at the same time.
Jesus.
And so I'm like, and then it explained so much. Needless to say, that explained a lot of stuff.
Yeah, it does.
But any women out there, if you have two uteruses, you have another woman here that totally sympathizes with your pain.
This is one of the type of stories we need on the You Are Not Alone channel I'm going to make. I'm making a channel, You Are Not Alone, where we're doing it. We're all just going to
I'm going to tell my stories. I'm going to tell my secrets. I'm going to tell my stuff because there are a lot of other people who can benefit from knowing that they ain't by their damn stuff. Seriously.
That's right. That's right.
Absolutely right.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's good to be flexible because life, the thing with life is it's never going to stay the same. It's always going to change. So there was, like, times where, you know, sometimes I was cleaning. Sometimes I was working at the drop zone. Sometimes I was teaching driver's ed. Shoot, I even tried to have my own natural business with shampoo, conditioner. I had my own brand of perfume. It was, you know, over 10 years ago, though. I didn't know how to use the web back then. I didn't know how to create on the web back then. And the business faltered. And then I said, you know what, I'm going to learn this stuff. Screw those people. One way or another, I'm going to do this. And now I know that if I really wanted to and I put the money back into it, I could turn around and buy my oils and the stuff again, and I could do another shot at it on my own, and I could make my own video. I can make my own mesh products to show. Shoot, I can make mesh products right now and print them up 3D for items if I wanted to because I build mesh stuff all the time. You know, I make my own textures and stuff.
You are a hustler, then. I'm just saying, it's like you're a hustler because I'm listening to you, and it sounds like you are. Every time you fail, it makes you say, "Well, hell, there's something else I can do."
That's right. Yeah, there's got to be.
Where'd you get that from?
I don't know. I don't know. I think that one thing I do know is that at least in the what years I did have with my parents before I found out the craziness of them all, is my dad, my stepdad, he had an amazing work ethic. And so did my mom, even though she's crazy. She actually had an amazing work ethic. And we moved all over. Like, I went to 18 different schools. So I just always, you have to know how to balance, you know. You have to know how to balance when you're doing all that.
Yeah, I'm telling you, you have really made me happy with this phone call. You got to do me a favor. Send me an email again. TJ@yourworldmyviews.com. Send me an email. I got a gift for you. I'm going to send you a gift. Send me an email. This story was needed because you just made me happy because you made me realize all the shit that I'm whining and moaning about.
Ain't shit. Ain't the same here with me. Shit.
She's lived a life and just smiles the whole time. You can feel her smile through the phone call. And a person who's gone through this kind of crap. But if you listen to what she said, what was cool, and thank you, Shay, when you send me that email, I'm going to get back to you tonight.
Uh-huh.
I'm sorry, were you saying something, Shay?
Oh, no, I was just going to say, okay, you guys have a good one, and I'll let you get to your calls.
I love this story. Y'all guys got to understand, this woman went through some stuff. I didn't get kicked out of my house. I didn't have to leave. My mom didn't try to burn me up in the house. My mom didn't lie to me about 16 years of who I was.
Yeah, my mom was happy when I came back home.
You know what I'm saying?
She was ecstatic, dude. I have nothing to complain about now. I literally don't.
And you hear, like I said, you can hear the smile on that one. And when all the people were talking crap at the beginning, that's what was making me mad. I said, there's something about this story I want to hear. The people in the chat room kept talking stupid shit. And this is why, and I'm admonishing a lot of people in the chat room. It's funny when I call a cab on people. It's funny when I do stuff. But then y'all just become people who just want that to happen all the time. You don't want to listen to motherfuckers. You don't want to hear what people got to say. You just want to fuck with people the whole damn time.
Make it a comedy show.
Yeah, to make it a comedy show. We don't get shit done. And it's almost like, that's why I don't even like, it's like, have y'all noticed there's some kids around there that you have to be strict with them the whole time? Because if you just take 1 second out to play with them motherfuckers, the whole class will be fucked up. They just won't, they'll play the whole day. You got to be an asshole to them the whole day. You can't play, then be an asshole, then play, then be an asshole. That's why I love my daughter. I can play with my daughter, and when I tell my daughter knows, it's the time it ain't to play. People watch me do my show, and when I'm doing my show, my dog will come in here doing stupid shit, and I got to sit up here, shut up. I don't have to do that shit. Y'all been seeing me do this show for 5 years. You ain't never seen me say, what the fuck you doing?
I don't want to.
And my daughter's 8, so that means she started when she was 3. And I've never had to do this. Nobody has ever called me. You can ask anybody that's ever called me on the phone. Any of you have ever heard me on the phone. You know what you've never heard? Me tell my daughter to shut up, or you hearing my daughter talk to me in the background, or me having a whole damn conversation with my daughter while you're on the phone. You ever notice you sometimes you call people, you hear the kid in the background, they sit down, you see I'm on the phone.
Oh, my God. Especially when I was in California. That was almost a daily occurrence. I used to call one of my exes up. If it wasn't her, if it wasn't her kid, it was one of her cousin's kids, and one of her nieces, one of her nephews.
Shit has never happened.
And it got to the point like I didn't want to call this shit. Like literally, like just don't we? I had to force myself to talk to her. You know what I mean? And when you have a father in the house, it's crazy. I learned that when I lived with my grandparents because my mom and my father had their little issues. I lived with my grandparents from age 0 to 7. And one thing I know is they've been married since like the Stone Age. But it's just that level of respect. I've never seen them argue. Not one time. I've seen them have disagreements. I've never seen them go back and forth, throw blows, nothing. As a matter of fact, I asked them one day, I'm like, have you guys ever, you know, actually got into a full-blown yelling contest? He's like, no. We go our separate ways. I'll leave. They go get some ice cream. She might go to the store, do some shopping. Come back, we'll break, make up at the end of the night.
That's the best way to do it. That's why I like having a three-level house with basement. I believe if I lived in this motherfucker with somebody, I'd probably walk around and cuss with them. It wouldn't work. You need, like, more space. But, yeah, I think that's the perfect thing to do. You don't have to sit there and argue with people and fight with people and shit like that. Separate for a minute. Come back to it. A lot of the things I've ever argued about, I realized that shit was minuscule and stupid. Think about it. Most of these arguments we get in are stupid because we've been raised in this society that we think anytime we don't like something, just start arguing. And that bothers me. That's what we're doing right now. That's what I was saying in that chat room. Dude, just let the conversation go. Be the comedian at the correct time. There are times when you can be a comedian, and there are times when maybe you should just not.
There's no other way to put it.
Yeah, there's just, you know, baby, hey, you know, let's just not be it right now, especially when you see, like, the one person who's like, okay, they're on the phone and they're reading it. Stop. And I would tell the people who are on the phone, stop reading the damn thing. Let me go to Gisette. Gisette said she took Plan B. What's up?
How you doing, Tommy?
I'm doing all right. Talk to me. What's on your mind?
Well, I recently relocated and got out here thinking that I was going to get a house and get my daughter situated and go on with my life. Long story short, I end up losing custody of my children.
Oh. What happened? She lost custody of her kids. How did this happen?
Well, after we got out here, they started to act in a way that was new to me. They started revealing different things to me that had happened back home, and I didn't know anybody here. We were in a hotel. I was trying to find somewhere to move. I was trying to keep their father from knowing where we were. I had court cases pending back home, and things just got out of control.
Oh. Let me ask, at the time, how many children did you have?
Well, I have 9 altogether, but only 4 came with me.
That 9? How old are you?
45.
How old is your oldest?
29.
So you were having kids as a teenager, a very young teenager.
16.
Yep. How did you get in that? Okay, I got to ask the question because you know me. How many of the children, you had 9, how many fathers?
3. Mm-hmm.
Were you ever married?
My oldest daughter has her own father. The 2 second oldest has the same father. And the last 6 is by my husband.
Okay. Why did you have so many children? Just curious.
Well, the last 6, well, we planned it. That's what we wanted. We wanted, well, he said 12, I said 10. And we planned it. We wanted a large family.
How was your family growing up? How was your family growing up? Did you have a big family?
Yes and no. I had a big extended family.
Okay, but your main family was how many siblings do you have?
It was just me, my mom, and my dad.
Okay, so what made you want such a big family?
Because I wasn't included in my own.
Thought so. That's what I was trying to get at. I was trying to figure out where you got this. Because usually when we go to extremes, it's to make up for something we felt was an extreme. We usually go to the other side. So you were trying to make up for feeling like you weren't included in the family, so you wanted your own family. In order for you to get a child at 16, what was your situation like with your mother and father? Did you feel like you were outcast in the house? You said you weren't close to your family. Were you still living there when you got pregnant?
Yeah, it was my father and my stepmother.
Oh, where was your real mother?
She's deceased.
Okay, so how old were you when your mother passed?
I think I was 4.
Oh, so you don't have very many memories of your mom.
I got a couple.
So how was your relationship with your stepmom?
It went back and forth.
Sometimes good, sometimes not.
Yeah.
Did you leave at 16 and that's how you got pregnant, or were you still living in the home?
I was still living at home.
What happened after you got pregnant with your home life?
It was okay for a while, and then it became more restrictive. Like, I have a baby, I'm 16, I'm finna be 17. I have a brand new car, be home at 7 o'clock. Really? Okay. Well, I get home at 7:30, I'm locked out. Well, I won't come home then. Kind of start going like that.
Oh, so it was really combative at the home. Like, you basically were trying to stretch your legs as an adult, and they were trying to treat you like a child before you had the kid.
Well, this was after.
No, I'm saying they were trying to treat you like they should have treated you before, though, is what they were trying to treat you, like you weren't a parent. They were trying
right.
to treat you like a kid. And you were
right.
trying to basically find yourself as an adult because you were like, hey, I'm 16, I got this new car, I got this baby, you can't really treat me like a kid because I got a kid.
Right, like why give me the car and why give me, you know, this out and then say, but be home at 7 o'clock.
Let me point something out to you. Maybe you realize it now. They were
mm-hmm.
trying to give you responsibilities of an adult. I mean, you went out and got a kid. They were having to help you take care of a kid that you got. And maybe they felt like you would become more responsible with that kid. Do you see that now, that maybe as a parent at 16, that what they were doing, because they were helping you if they gave you a car. They just wanted you to be at home at a certain time because you are a parent.
Well, now that you explain it that way, I see it. I didn't see it.
She's like, well, you should have seen this before. This is what you got to do.
I didn't realize what
the caller did before. You know that, but this is what I'm saying. Do you notice what the caller did before? Even
mm-hmm.
when things weren't right, she always found the knowledge out of that thing. Like she spoke about her mother. Her mother's crazy, but she said, I got my work ethic from my mother. My mother could work. These
yeah.
things are what we should always be able to do when we look back on life. I have things I didn't like about my mom. I have things that I love about my mom. You should be able to, today, a mother of 9, you should have been able to look back at your situation when you were 16, and how you felt about it then should be different than how you feel about it now. I tell people all the time, if you look back on something that happened to you 10 years ago and you feel the same way about it today as you did that day it happened, you did not grow. You should not view what happened to you 10 years ago the same way today. And I'm a little saddened because you viewed it before I said that the same way. But go ahead.
Well, in a lot of aspects, you know, it's like that. I view it different. But that one particular thing, it just came up, and you know, I really never thought about it. And, you know, I just realized it now. I really don't care like that about the car thing. But, yeah, I mean, you made a point. I didn't realize that thing about the car before, and, yeah, it is what it is.
Because I would say to anyone, especially if my daughter gets a, and when I need to quit saying it, because it's happened, I'll probably go nuts. But if my daughter ends up ruining her life, which is what it would be for the moment, she may not ruin her whole life, but for the moment I would feel like, oh, my God, this is going to dramatically, and it will. People need to understand whenever, like, I know people get mad when you tell a kid or tell somebody, well, this is going to ruin your life. What it is going to do is dramatically change your life. It's going to dramatically change your life. What I would hope is that what you can do is transfer the information you learn to your children. Because you said you have a couple of daughters that's already started their own family, right?
Just one.
Just one. Just, how old was she? Yeah, how old was she when she had her first kid?
18.
You see how these things tend to be a cycle?
Yeah.
And that's why we should learn. The thing that happened to me, I tried to make sure that my daughter knows firsthand it's a mistake. I don't care. I don't mind showing my vulnerability to my daughter. I don't mind showing my vulnerability to you guys, because at the end of the day, just making sure that the person behind you doesn't commit the same mistake as you did is the biggest thing that we can do as parents to our kids. Now, what happened with your husband? Are you still with your husband who you had the six kids with?
No, he's in Ohio or somewhere.
Or somewhere. Happened.
Say that again, I didn't hear you.
You said in Ohio, then I said, what happened?
I left. He was very abusive, and I left, and we came out here, and the rest is history.
All right. You said he was abusive. Was he abusive when you had the first kid?
He had been, and then he stopped.
What about the second?
Not really, because I was really kind of ill with the second one, so he kind of put on the really good guy role during that time.
Well, let me ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
Can you look back now and think to yourself, because you said you don't even really know where he is. What type of father is he to his six kids?
He's not. That's why we left.
What was the last straw? What was the thing that happened that made you take his kids and leave?
When he tried to kill me, and then he kept coming over, you know, just being abusive to me and the kids, and then he tried to have me committed. So, you know, it was either do or die.
He tried to kill you?
Yeah.
Explain.
He tried to set me on fire.
Gee, tell me a little bit about this.
Well, I was watching your show, and I was enjoying your show just a little bit too much for him. And so I was in the bathroom looking in the mirror doing something, and he came in and he asked me, how could I disrespect him in his house the way that I was doing? And I just told him, I'm just not happy. And just not happy, those last three words, set him off. He grabbed me, slammed me, choked me, shifted my ribs, laid his body. I mean, he did everything you could think of. And then finally when I got from up underneath him and got into a chair, and I'm bending over, holding my ribs, telling him, like, please take me to the hospital. You really messed me up this time. I swear I won't say anything. I tell him I hurt myself playing basketball, but please take me. And he got a can of spray deodorant and a lighter, and he stood over me, and he was shaking. He was struggling. Then he called my daughter in the bedroom, and he said, no, Britt, uh-uh. No, this is my life she's effing with. She's left effing with my life. And, like, he was asking her permission to set me on fire. And so she was looking at him, shaking her head like, I'm with you on everything, but this is too far. So finally, like after 9 hours of sitting there listening to him just blame me and just verbally assault me, they left.
And then you were able to get out?
No, not right away. It took like another month or two.
It took another month? What took so long? You got to help. This story could help some women who are going through this, because a woman called in the last show, you guys' story can help. Why did it take you so long?
Because I had nowhere to go. I had no money. I had no car. I had nothing.
You notice that's one of the biggest things that abusive men do? They make sure they have a woman who can't do anything else. And one of those reasons, or one of those ways, is to impregnate her a whole bunch.
Cut off connection with her family.
Cut off connection with your family, tell you that they don't love you. I'm the only one that care about you.
And be a stay-at-home wife. Don't
worry. Mm-hmm. Mm. So you finally got the last straw and you finally left. Your whole life had been planned around being a mother and a wife, and you had the kids to prove it. Let me ask you, today, what is your plan B?
I'm praying on it. That's all I got for you right now for today. I'm just praying on it.
I can't even say anything about what you said. I can't say it's wrong because I know what it's like to be lost. And right now you're lost. Right now you don't know what to do. I'm sure financially you're strapped, right?
Right.
How many children do you have with you?
Well, the four girls are here, but they're two are in therapeutic foster care. And the other two are in, like, an adolescent mental facility.
So you ended up losing it.
Right.
And where are the other ones?
Four of them are back. Well, let me see. One of them is back in Ohio, and I don't know where four of them are.
Do me a favor. Send me an email at tj@yourworldmyviews. I want to keep talking to you outside of here. And I want to see what we can do to possibly help you out, just a little, even if it's just a little bit. We're going to help you out, all right?
Okay.
Thank you so much, dear.
All right, thanks.
Hey guys,
and hearing these stories, it reminds me of a time I was actually a lot more cynical. I sort of believe that everything that a woman was going through, she literally brought upon herself.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to lie. It's literally how I thought. Why is she with this abusive-ass dude? Why is she staying in her ass whooped? She's an idiot. Da-da-da. But at the same time, I'll never be a woman. So I guess I can't think like them, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't have the emotional wiring like that. And just listening to these two all together, it's one of the reasons why I'm still slowly breaking out of it right now. I'm actually breaking out of that habit of blaming women for whatever bad things happen in their life. I'll confess, I remember one time I was drunk as hell. Said some ugly shit. This one chick, I said, everything that's happened to you in your life is your fault, bitch. Verbatim. Got sober and realized, why the hell did I say that? Like, what was I trying to prove with that?
You were just trying to hurt.
Yep, absolutely.
We've all said things to people that we care about that try to hurt them. Because the reason we do this is because typically when you care about somebody, you share a story with them. You share things about your life. When they get mad at you, what do they use against you?
The stuff you shared about
your
life. The
things you shared. And that's the scary part about, like me. Everything I share on the show and I talk about myself, somebody throws it up and makes some video about it. Oh, and then they'll make it and then they'll lie about it. I feel like I can handle it because I've already went through the thing that I went through. So you repeating the thing that I went through doesn't bother me. It used to for a minute, and then I realized, I said, wait a minute. I started my show talking about I went to jail. I told people I went to jail. Why is it okay if I tell people I went to jail, but if they go out and they put it up that I went to jail, there's a problem? It shouldn't be. It would just make me express it more. So that's the way I looked at it. And somebody said that my mic is off. No, it is not. The mic is not off. That's probably just what's going on over there in live stream or whatever. But the mic is on. Y'all got to leave live stream alone. Live stream is whatever. Listening to that woman's story, she has three fathers. And you can tell that what she sought was love. And the last guy knew it. But people don't understand that a lot of us draw to us the opposite of what we are. Or we draw to us what we seek, and we just don't know it.
Or what we're lacking.
Yes. We will draw to us that, because people can look at us. People can feel what we're going through. A girl you're dating or a guy you're dating can tell if you're insecure. And typically, you're going to draw somebody that's good at playing on insecurity. That's how it works. The opposites attract. The person that's insecure draws the person that plays on insecurity. You rarely draw the person that wants to build up your security. And typically, if you are an insecure person and you date a person that wants to build up your insecurity, what will you do once they do it?
Move on.
You'll leave them because they won't interest you. I know it because I've dated girls who've been in relationships, been married to men that treat them like crap. And I come in and say, well, I'm going to be the exact opposite of that guy. And I get treated like shit. And I'll listen to them tell me stories of how they man used to beat their ass and all kinds of crap, and they stayed with him. And I'm like, well, bitch, you treated me like crap. You left me. You don't give a fuck about nothing. I do. And it's scary because it's like, because they're used to that. That's love to them. What you're doing is helping build up their self-esteem. You help build up all that shit. You make them not lonely anymore, and they realize they don't like you. Everything that you did is like, it's like you hear black girls say it all the time. What do they say about guys when a guy does them real well and they leave them? What do they say? He was too nice. When I go up behind her and say he was too nice, he used to throw me off. What do you mean he's too nice?
It's just something about it. I was thinking about the book like 50 Shades of Grey, which is popular, or Twilight, whatever. If you think about the characters, those guys are emotionally and physically abusive, but you got women, young girls from whatever age, they fall in love with these characters. And you as a man, or me as a man, as I got older, I became more cynical. I became more callous. And it's like, you know what? Well, it goes back to what I said to that one chick, because you know what happened the next day? She called me back.
Really?
Yeah.
I've noticed that, too. I've said some of the most out-of-line shit to chicks, and they call back. I've said some of the sweetest shit to a woman, and she not even answer the text. Amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like if you spit like fire and you start saying all sorts of foul shit to them, that gets their attention. It gets their adrenaline going, and they start coming after you. As a matter of fact, the one time I remember me, the wife, and the girlfriend were all in the car. And my ex-wife did this one thing. She started rolling in the neck. She's like, you know what, nigga, while I'm driving. And that just brought me flashbacks to when I lived in Georgia and how little black men should talk to me like that. He should talk like dudes. And so me, I pulled into the middle lane, made sure there's no one behind me, no one in front of me, hit the gas at about 78 miles per hour, and I blasted this chick like a motherfucker. I never yelled at my Marines like that. I never yelled at anyone. You know what happened? She got real sweet, real quiet, and real cooperative for the rest of the week.
It's crazy the things that we have to do. Let's see if we can get some more.
Yes, my wife and my girlfriend in the same car. I said we were swingers.
Exactly. Let's see. Here's some more people on the line. I want to get these women are telling real stories. If you notice, the women are telling real stories. The guys,
they're sweet.
Guys aren't telling real good stories.
Aurelia said, is a 16-year-old that's on my phone line. I'll answer the line. And of course, they're going to tell me that I'm doing something wrong for answering this phone call. But what's up, Aurelia? I'll give you a couple minutes. Aurelia?
Yeah?
Hey, you wanted to talk to me about something.
Yeah, I wanted to talk to you.
Go ahead. You got it.
Well, me?
Yeah, you got the floor. What is it when you speak to me about?
Yeah. I agree with everything that you have to get. But I just feel that sometimes you stereotype some women, and I just don't agree with that. I support you in every kind of way, but I just feel like a lot of the videos that you make, it just talks about black women. Like, I don't feel like, you know.
You don't feel like I touch to talk about black women? You said you agree with a lot of the stuff that I say.
I agree with a lot of things that you have to say. And, you know, I support you and I respect you because, you know, I'm 16, so I really can't, you know, I respect you and everything, but I just feel that I'm not hating, but I just don't understand some of the things that you say about black women.
Like, give me an example.
So I'm just, like how you say, women, like black women are like, they wear hair hats and stuff like that. You know, just basically stuff like that.
You think that's wrong because what? There's a bunch of black women who don't?
No, I just feel that, you know, just because you had an experience with black women like that doesn't mean everybody else does.
Okay, let me ask you this question. If I told you that back in the 1600s, whites owned slaves, would you agree or disagree with that?
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Okay, if I said in the 1700s, if I said whites owned slaves in the 1700s, would you agree or disagree with that?
I would agree with that.
Did all whites own slaves?
No.
But you just said you'd agree with me making a statement.
I realize
Freya.
That.
Freya. You're the young girl, but I'm trying to point something out to you.
Yeah.
If I say black women wear weaves, the majority of them do. It's
okay.
The same thing as them as me saying whites own slaves. The majority of whites actually didn't own slaves, and you don't have
That's
a problem
true.
With me saying that, though.
That's true. I agree.
So if I make a statement about hair weaves and I say, because I never sit up there and say all black women wear hair weaves. I don't say that.
That's true.
And if you're a black woman that doesn't wear weaves, you know I'm not talking about all black women. As a matter of fact, I typically only talk about weaves when it comes to what people are doing, like these chicks online and all these photos they're putting up. And usually the twerkers are weave wearers.
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree with a lot of things that you say. I don't hate. I'm not a hater like that.
You have to understand that the reason I stereotype is because the people around you will stereotype. I want to give you real world stuff. And I'm not going to sell you something that when you go out into the world, you're going to have to buy something completely different. It's not right, and it's not fair. I'm not going to teach my daughter that racism doesn't exist and then send her out into the world where people don't believe that. I'm not going to teach my daughter that a man shouldn't put his hands on a woman. And then she go date this dude and slap crap out of him because she believes a man shouldn't put his hands on a woman. I'm going to tell my daughter, no, you shouldn't put your hands on anybody because if you hit somebody, they have the right to hit you back. Now, she may get lucky and hit a dude that doesn't hit her back, but at least I'll know I did my job by not sending her out into the world unarmed.
Yeah, just like how they have, like, how a society thinks that all men are abusive, all black men are abusive. which is not true. Most black men are abusive, but not all of them. Most of
everybody. Well, see, I got to go back to what you said to me, though. You said most black men. How many black men right now do you know that have abused you or people you know?
Oh, I've heard a lot of stories. You know, because I live in a black community, I've heard a lot of stories about women getting, you know, treated like crap and everything.
So give me the amount of stories you believe. Like, give me the number that you believe of guys or women's stories that you've heard. Just give me a ballpark figure. You don't have to be exact. But give me the stories that you've heard about black women who've gotten beaten. Give me a number. What number do you think it is? How high do you think it is?
I think it's a big number.
You think like 100?
No, I don't think it's 100. I think that because my mother actually has been abused. So.
Right. So I'm asking, just give me some numbers that you believe. Throw me out a number of stories you've heard. 50?
No, like 10, 20, 30, something like that.
Do you understand that you used 10, 20, 30 from your personal experience and came back and said most? When there are millions of black men in the United States and millions of black men across the globe, yet you used your small number to say that most, but you were saying to me earlier in the conversation that apparently I have not met enough black women when I say that black women wear weave, when I don't just come out and just say black women wear weave, but I went along with it. And you said, but I have a bigger number than you of black women who actually wear weaves. I have proof that there's a large-scale number of black women who wear weaves, but you only had a scale of 10 to 20 that black men were bad.
That's true.
So what I'm saying is when people talk to me, and I'm glad you called in, I'm glad I was able to talk to you, and I hope I'm able to give you the one thing that's been able to help me through a lot of stuff, and that is use logic and truth before you use emotion. Logic and truth will always keep your emotions in check. Even when they're out of line, you'll be able to check yourself. On the days when I lay in the bed and I'm crying, logic and truth makes me get up and work because I'm like, that's stupid what you're doing. You broke up with people. People have broke up with you. Your life has started. You've been sad, and you got back happy. You can feel bad for a minute. Get your pump self up, and that's what I end up having to do because the logic and the truth will keep my emotions in check, and I have to do it because I'm a man that was raised by a woman, and I have to get up every morning, brush my teeth, wash my face, and stomp that little chick right on up out of me, and I'm honest enough to admit it. And I tell you what, I thank you for this phone call because I'm glad you are fan number one, and I'm glad you question things because whether you question me or anyone else, make sure you question everything that comes in front of you because if I can't give you an answer to a question, I ain't worth following.
Okay. And also, I find a lot of times that people in society and people in the world – like I don't look at race, I don't look at looks, and a lot of times women we get judged about our looks when it only counts on the inside. So
I always just say this: God gave us two eyes for a reason. So apparently, what we see is important. He also designed women a certain way to gather a certain amount of interest from a man visually. That's how it works. So whenever someone says looks shouldn't matter, it reminds me of when people say money shouldn't matter. There's two types of people that say looks shouldn't matter and money shouldn't matter. The people who say looks shouldn't matter typically don't look good. The people who say money shouldn't matter typically don't have money. It's easy for us to say that things should not matter that we don't have. You rarely hear people who are taking advantage of something saying, well, that shouldn't matter. A left-handed pitcher never says, being left-handed shouldn't matter as a pitcher. A tall guy that plays in the NBA doesn't say, being tall shouldn't matter
You should draft me based upon nigga. So what you need to understand is logic and truth. When you say looks shouldn't matter, that's your emotional side speaking. Because when you're dealing with other people, what matters to them is what matters to them. So thank you, young ladies, for giving me a call. But never put your thoughts, because that's what gets me in trouble. Putting my thoughts of the world on someone else. Because I would think that a 50-year-old man shouldn't stalk another man on the internet.
That's the younger one.
Right. But the 50-year-old man has a problem with it. I would think that a guy wouldn't call in the show and tell us to come to Miami. And he was BS. He thought it was funny, I guess.
Sure.
I don't see the joke.
Come to Miami. Nah.
Yeah, I don't see the joke. We're here. We're not out of anything. Just in a few hours irritated. But you have to understand that what you think is normal, the next person thinks it's abnormal, and vice versa. That's why, like, when you were describing your marriage situation, whenever people question them, like, what's normal for me is not normal for you. But if it makes me happy, why are you trying to tell me it should or shouldn't? I had to describe that myself. I always talk about swinging relationships and stuff like that, because I'm cool with that kind of stuff. I do that. So I sit there and I said, well, people go, how can you do that? It won't work. I'm like, okay, are you married? No. Are you kids by the same person? No. But I've been in monogamous relationships. So you've been in a string of monogamous relationships, and you're saying that's somehow better than what I've done? People need to learn how to speak on success. If what you've done has worked, I can listen to that. If you say I bought these houses and resold them and became a millionaire, I will listen to you. If you tell me I bought these houses and I'm still as broke as you, I tried to resell them and couldn't, then how are you going to tell me that I should be in real estate and not accounting? You're telling me from a place of failure. And the bad thing about black people is the people who fail talk a lot. And they talk about what you shouldn't be doing. But they never talk about what it is they failed at. That's the conversation a failure should be having. A failure should have a seminar. Look, I gave money to this damn project, and it was a scam. You shouldn't do it. That's what a failure should do. A failure should say, I dated this person. This person gave me crabs. Watch out.
It's what you look out for.
We don't do that. And that's scary to me. See if we can bring, I like the women callers, though. The women callers have been pretty good. Let me bring in Joycelyn. Joycelyn, what's going on?
Hi, it's Jocelyn.
Jocelyn, okay. Jocelyn, talk to me.
Well, I wanted to talk about the entire topic for tonight as far as the plan B. My original plan A, which was about 10 years ago, was to, I was in ROTC at my school, so I was planning to graduate high school and go on to college paid for by the military and going out there. And, you know, looking back, I think it was good that I actually didn't, because at the time, you know, Bush was president and we just had gotten into the war right around that time, so it would have been, you know, probably not the best thing for me to do. But at any rate, before any of that happened, my plans got changed when I got pregnant with my daughter. And my plan B was to try to, you know, get work with the baby's father. And we stayed together a few years, which is, I think, decent for a teen parent.
How old were you when you got pregnant?
I was 16.
Is that the only child you have?
Yes.
All right, how old are you now?
I'm 28 now.
Good girl. All right, you were 16. What was it that made you go out and get pregnant at 16? What do you think it was?
Well, we were high school sweethearts, and I don't know. It was just I didn't really have a stable home life growing up. Like, my mom was a single parent, and she wasn't mentally grounded. So, you know, I had to move out of my mom's house when I was about 14, stayed with my cousins, and that didn't go so well either. So at the time when I had gotten pregnant, I really had nowhere to live, no stable place to live. So when I got pregnant, my aunt came to Memphis from Dallas to come get me and bring me out of that environment. And me and the father stayed in touch, but I was able to go to Dallas and finish school. They had a really good program for providing, like, child care and parental methods and things of that nature. So I was able to put a lot of my focus into my school and graduated with a 3.5 GPA and had some scholarships to college. And that's where my plan C came in. My plan C was to go off to college on the scholarship, and I changed that plan to try to make it work with my baby's father and move back home with him, and that didn't really work out either.
Hmm. I mean, you seem like, where'd you get your drive from? You, like the other woman, seem like you got your shit together. Like, you believe, like, if it doesn't work, I'm going to move on to the next step. If it doesn't work, I'm going to try something else. Where'd you get that from?
I just didn't want to live in the hood all my life. Like, if you see somebody and you're growing up and, like, nothing changes with their day, like, that's the main thing that I hated about growing up in the hood is, like, when you see somebody growing up in the hood, every day is the same trials and tribulations. Like, we're going to walk up to the corner store.
Like me. I literally saw that hood stuff, and I saw that the 60-year-olds was in the same place that the 40-year-olds was in the same place that the 20-year-olds, and I kept saying the 20-year-olds are going to end up being the 40-year-olds, and the 40-year-olds are going to end up being the 60-year-olds. How the fuck does that seem appealing? And I kept thinking, why does no one else want to escape? I was never comfortable there. Is that how you felt growing up?
I mean, exactly. The police officers knew my family by name. That's how bad it was. Like, I saw my uncle cook crack in my grandma's kitchen, all kind of stuff. So
same thing. Literally, I lived in the crack house.
Yeah, see, so I just didn't want to be around that all my life. I didn't know what exactly was out there in the world, but I knew that I wasn't going to stay in North Memphis all my life. So,
girl. So you stumbled with the kid. You tried to make it work with the kid's father. What's the relationship with the kid and kids and the kid's father now?
Well, he's in touch with my daughter. I wish he was. I wish he saw her on a regular basis. He's in the military, so he hasn't really seen her in about 2 years. But he does. He financially helps out a lot. But I mean, today I'm married, so. My husband's actually right here. He told me not to embarrass him on the show.
Oh, he didn't want you to get a cab called on you?
Yeah. Cab call tonight. This ain't Chicago.
He's out to divorce you a minute. If he called a cab on you, it's over. You sound so sweet, though. Where did that come from? Because you don't sound like the chick that came from the hood. Was that a part of you realizing you don't belong there?
No, I mean, before everything went bad, you know, I would say up until age 12, my mom was really, you know, there and mentally grounded. So I was like the kid that was 7-year-old, you know, playing Scrabble with her mom, like. And it was never a question to go to college or anything like that. My mom was a engineer, and
it went south. What made it go south? What made your mom change? What do you think it was that happened in her life that made
her change, because I have a friend, like his mom was like your mom, and she met this dude. She ended up cracked out. He had this woman, and she literally went from like this woman that worked at like in Georgia, this big thing was to work at the GM plant. Like apparently, like a bunch of money to make at the GM plant. She had a good job there. She ended up dying from like shooting up, and the woman was like the perfect mom at our young age. And then she ended up being that chick. And then my friend ended up being the big dope seller. It was weird. What happened with you? Where was the change?
Oh, my family has always said that she was different from the other ones. Like, she grew up in a family of 11 sisters and brothers, and she was always the quiet one who would be reading, but she was always good at everything she did. Like, academically, she excelled. She was always good at that. And right around the time that things started happening, I guess they were implementing new computer systems at her job or something. And she just couldn't get a hang of it. And I guess more and more she just got distrustful until it became paranoia into schizophrenia. And, you know, it was weird because my family knew something was happening to her. But, you know, it's like the typical black family, which kind of just stay out of it and be like, okay, well, we're just going to let what happens start happen.
With them crazy folks in the back room?
They didn't want to.
We did it in our family. We put the crazy folks in the back room. That was literally something that goes on in black. It is, seriously. You put them in the back. You put them in the back room. You just tell people they know them. They would do the same thing with molesters. We had molesters that lived near you with being you being your family. They just tell you, just don't mess with that person. I'm like, really? This is how we deal with the problem that's in our home? But black people, and you can tell me this is how it was, Joyston, you can tell me if this is how it was.
Yeah.
Basically,
it's
weak. It's weak to admit that you have a mental problem. It's weakness.
Absolutely.
Well, my mom's biggest fear throughout that whole thing, she would always say, like, she didn't want anybody taking us away from her. And that was her biggest thing. She was like, no matter what happened, she didn't want anybody taking us away from her. So not only did my family start being hands-off, but she actually started distancing herself from the family because she didn't want anybody to know what was going on in the house.
One of the mental illness is that isolation part of it. When you start to move because you know something's wrong, and what happens is when you start to get when you're a paranoid schizophrenic, you believe everybody's out to get you and something's going to go wrong, so you shelter yourself.
That is very true. Like when I remember being in the, I was pretty young though, but my mom thought that I was having gang members like break into the house multiple times. And it's like, I don't even know any gang members. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now maybe you can end this on a successful note, because I hear you say you're sitting there with your husband, you both listen to the show. You got to the point of where, hell, I want to be. You got your husband, you got your family. What's the state of, how did you get to the point where you were able to get your husband and able to set your life straight?
Well, I stopped focusing on relationships so much because I started focusing on the things that I could actually control. And you can't control people. It's never going to happen. You're never going to be able to control somebody else. So I started focusing on my work. I wanted to, you know, provide a better life for my daughter. And I got a job, moved up to Kansas City. And I've been working for the government for about 4 years now. And I met my husband 2 years ago. He pursued me for a while, but he got me.
Wow.
I was fighting up. You had him running behind you, as the other people say, had his nose on.
I was fighting so long, he could have called me Lennox Lewis.
Well, you're getting a jab then now, brother. You're getting a jab then.
Yeah, he wrote some long emotional letters that maybe our grandchildren will see one day.
That's right.
So he was, okay, so he sounds like he was like me. He was a romantic. Let me ask you, how did you fall for a romantic? Because typically romantics like me don't do very well. We don't fare well.
I don't know. I just grew to appreciate him over time. I'm not a romantic at all. So it's like kind of opposite the track thing, but.
Yeah. She's a Capricorn, I'm a Cancer.
I don't know the signs, but I'm assuming those are bad.
No, they kind of go good together. She got the drive, and I'm kind of the, if you got the drive, I got the drive. She bought a house right before, I would say, when did that do now? October. I pretty much moved in myself, and I was like, Bob, all over the house. Locked doors. I'm putting in doors. I fixed the fence, and, you know, we ended up getting married, and now I'm here to make a better life for her and provide for my family and our future kids.
That's really, really cool. I'm really loving hearing this story, and I like the fact that there are a lot of married people who listen to the show. Maybe you can tell me, brother, how did you guys come across me, and what made you guys become fans of the show?
Well, I actually found you on YouTube. I was working at 24 Hour Fitness, my second job, at night, and I was on YouTube just searching up some old WWF stuff on YouTube. Yes, I was a wrestling 15 years ago, so soon.
Man, I was a wrestling fan. When The Rock was there, I could smell what he was cooking.
Wow. And
I was a fan.
Yeah, man, I'm still up till I've gone everything up till about maybe early 2000s. After that, I don't watch it. I saw the video where it was the letter about
the white girl.
The white girl, right? It just kept popping up every time I clicked on a video. That just kept popping up. I'm like, man, let me click on this damn video and see what the hell this shit's about. And I clicked on that first video. I watched that video, and then I started watching more. And then next thing I know, it's 3 weeks. It's literally 3 weeks later, I have not turned on a television. I was going back watching everything that I saw on YouTube and ended up agreeing with the majority of it. I don't agree with every last thing. But, you know, what I don't agree with is like, well, that's that man's opinion. On to the next video.
So let me ask you, I want to ask you as a man, what are some of the things that you disagree with? Just give me one of the things that you listen to. Because that video did great numbers before my channel was deleted. That thing got like 1 million views, and I can't remember, it was a short amount of time, but that video apparently was really good.
Mm-hmm. Well, some of the religious things I don't necessarily agree with. Now, I haven't been to church in a coon's age myself, but I do perceive myself to be a Christian man. Now, with me growing up, I did grow up, my grandparents went to the old Baptist church where they literally, I mean, they judge everybody. I mean, they all sang Sanctified Filled with the Holy Ghost on Sunday. Come Wednesday, you ask them for $5. Like, nigga, who the fuck is you? And going away,
yep.
You know, that whole hypocrisy. So I kind of stayed away from church. My parents never raised me in the church, but I found out growing up that even though I didn't go to church as much as other kids, I ended up being more of the Christian mold than those of actual Christians that went to church every day. And so some of the stuff is like, it's kind of touchy, but like I said, it's somebody else's opinion, you know, going about my business. And
I look at religion, it's like, I say, look, at religion, it's like when the woman said she's just praying. You notice what I said to her. I said, I can't tell you what to do because at this point in time, whatever makes you feel at least comfortable, I'm okay with it.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't like when what you're doing hurts someone else or infringes upon someone else.
I try my best to make sure that whatever I'm doing doesn't infringe on someone else. The fact that, like these videos I make, people don't have to watch them, and I don't put them in their face. I don't go on people's pages and say, look at my video. I know you hate this. Look at my video.
Right.
Because I don't believe in infringing on people. I think that what you do should be for you and the people who like doing it. They have that option. Religious people, I grew up with religious people. Started out Catholic, ended up Baptist. So this is some crazy route that I went. And almost every one of them, I kept seeing the same thing, hypocrisy. It's the same way I can still be cool with Lord Jamar, but tell you I'm not down with them hotel brothers. And he understands. Because even though he's a 5%er, he knows there's a lot of brothers that talk the shit but don't walk the shit.
Right. And, you know, I understand that. And I became more into the videos when you, even though I didn't have to get I didn't do nearly half the things that, you know, I see some of the people that I even went to high school with that most of them have kids out of wedlock. And I'm like, I done had this bitch and that bitch here. And I'm like, okay, how is that going to improve to your life? Are you married to any of them? How is that? And you know, nigga, you gay? Like, nah, I just don't. It ain't that important to me. I was always that kind of, you know, was like 15 degrees off to the left. So I'm like, yeah, I'm not going to fuck with him too much because he seems like he owns some other shit. You may, when you keep commenting on those videos, like dudes like, you put pussy on a pedestal, if you will. Really?
I don't like that word.
All right.
You know what? You know the funny part about it? I'm not a fan of that word either. Like, I can say it amongst guys, but I can't softly say it in front of girls. And I know that, like, when I was in a relationship, like, I guess because she grew up around, like, black people, she would say things that I would listen to, and I'd be like, that's kind of harsh coming from a woman to hear certain words.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like to speak around women a certain way. Now, I speak around some hoes. I speak
that's a whole different category, right?
You know what I'm saying? I think I'm weird. That's what I think is a problem with me. I'm a bit old-fashioned in a certain ways, and it doesn't work today.
Yeah.
No, it really doesn't.
Like, I'm an old-fashioned guy. Like, if I get with a woman, I'll give that woman the option to work. She doesn't have to work. I don't mind doing that. I think that's cool to be able to provide that woman to not be able. But that's the worst damn thing you could do nowadays.
They'll take advantage of that shit.
Yeah, that's the worst shit you could do as a man to make it to where a woman sits up there and she ain't got to work. None of your kids going to be yours.
It's a damn shame. That's a bad thing.
Well, Tommy, I got to be honest. We had to change that plan up real quick because that was going to be the plan here up until about maybe a month and a half ago.
What happened?
I actually re-enlisted in the Army. I'll be leaving KC here later on this month. Thankfully, I ain't going to be going nowhere where bullets going to be flying. I'll just be going out to South Carolina for a little bit, then I'll be going to Virginia. Well, I'll be doing supplies. I won't be in the mainland. So, but the plan was.
So you re-enlisted. What made you re-enlist?
It's hard out here for a pimp, man. I've been trying to find.
I can't get mad at the man. I re-enlisted too.
Yeah,
I ain't get mad at you.
Yeah, a man right here in the studio with me. He said he can't get mad at you. He re-enlisted too.
Yeah, I was in 10 years ago in the reserve, and now I'm going active duty. I mean, I was I'm this close to getting my associate's degree right now, and I have plans to get my bachelor's. But in the meantime, right now I'm making $11 an hour, and I'm working myself into the ground, working upwards of 72 hours a week at one point in time.
Right.
Trying to, you know, make it, and I'm trying to find, which, you know, I'm a mechanic, and just trying to get on in a dealership at a fairly advanced age is next to impossible. So it's like I want to start my own business, but trying to start your own business, no money, no savings, and bad credit ain't a good look.
Yeah, and that's the biggest thing that they get us with. They get us with the fact that we don't have reserves. They get us with the fact that this stupid credit thing, our credit gets ruined early.
Mm-hmm.
And then once we cheer to the point where we got big dreams, we got those two big anvils over the top of our head waiting to stop those dreams.
As a matter of fact, I know especially amongst the military, a lot of these guys go in debt, believe it or not, from the actual family members, you know, giving loans, just pretty much signing stuff over to their family's name.
Damn.
Believe it or not. As a matter of fact, when I was in Okinawa, I had like four guys actually signed off like on a lease, not a lease, but a loan for like their mother's cars and whatnot, and they ended up going in debt, like severe debt.
How could you do that to somebody that you know is ducking bullets?
It's crazy. It's like, you got to do it right. So here, go ahead and sign this off real quick.
Right. That's pretty much all it is. Now, I have to say my brokenness came from my own dumbassery and unintelligence.
You use my word, dumbassery. You just gained some points. Go ahead. That's my word.
My parents, very stable people. My parents have been in the same house for God knows how long. I didn't have to get a job when I was 16. I didn't have to, do anything for college. I went and I screwed up my college education, fawning over some girl. That thing where you was like in the bed and couldn't move. Yeah, that was me for 3 weeks. I ended up not doing too well at Mizzou. I could have kept my job and went to community college like my parents wanted me to. I could have had my money stacked up, but me being a hot-headed 16-year-old had a car given to me from my grandmother, God rest his soul, and I just jacked that car up. I didn't have just interest. And I still ain't got no money.
Hey, baby, we get it. We get it.
We gonna get it. We ain't gonna worry about that. We gonna get this money.
I love the fact that you guys sound like this team. I really do. That y'all about to make me cry because I want that what y'all have. And the sad part is maybe I have to get somebody to struggle with because, like. If you're, I don't know, maybe that's it. Maybe you got to have somebody that you both in the struggle with and you feel like that's who you have. And so you fight with each other. You fight for each other, excuse me.
I want to say, but it's a different kind of struggle. Like, mine was more of a self-esteem struggle. Like, I had plenty of finances. I was good. She didn't have the money for it. Matter of fact, when I met her, she was actually at her mom's house when I met her.
Do me one favor. Before you guys go, do me a favor. Email me. I want to give you guys a gift. Email me at tj@yourworldmyviews.com because I was about to cut you guys off. This was a great call, and this is a great way to end. Everybody else that's on the line, do me a favor. We're going to bring you guys back on Sunday and do this again because we finally really got